welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. It's on tap. Tommy Lasorda is going to be on the show. Dave's Jerk List. Always look forward to that. Someone else I always look forward to, Billy West. The great Billy West, voice of Ren Stimpy and many other voices on the show. Lycus is going to join us early, as he so often does. And first, we're going to talk, we're going to talk about this whole Foley new revelation, molested. He was molested. The guy who shot up the Amish schoolhouse was molested. Seems like, are there any two- and three-room schoolhouse, just so we have something in between the one-room schoolhouse, the little house on the prairie, and then the, you know, they always do this too when these stories come out. They go, oh man, if it could happen here, it could happen anywhere. First off, if you want to talk about just general paranoia, the idea that it does seem to happen in these faraway places so oftentimes, and then we then are supposed to take that as, well, if it happened here, there's now an 80% chance it's going to happen at the school my kids go to, because if it could happen here, then, you know, if Air Force One could crash, then any plane could crash. They sort of do this kind of math, and it just makes everyone that much more paranoid. I tend to think, though, you always see these stories, and they always do announce if it could happen here, it could happen anywhere, but it doesn't seem to happen in the middle of New York or in the middle of Los Angeles. We have our own worries. Don't worry. We're still being, you know, punished for living here. Still a better life you people have on the outskirts and the fringes. But we don't seem to have those kinds. We have our own. We have our own kind of trouble here, but we don't seem to have that kind of trouble.
You make a good point. The school shootings, Columbine, and then the other one in Platt, and then this one in Amish country, we're all in sort of small, picturesque towns.
Yeah, they had one, I don't know, was it San Diego, metal detectors that the kids must pass through in order to get to class, which is nice. My whole feeling is let's get those metal detectors early and often, because your life is one big pass through a metal detector. You then have to check things before you get onto the subway, and then as you get on the airplane, you must go through another metal detector. The amount of metal detectors my kids can look forward to going to, or going through, I don't know if there's going to be a place, entrance to a movie theater or mall, I don't know that there's going to be an entrance to any place that doesn't have a metal detector. Courtrooms, like I said, airports, everything. So might as well just get used to them passing through metal detectors. I assume in a few years that their children, my children's children, will pass through a metal detector as they're born. My young daughter's vagina is going to be pressed up against a metal detector, and they'll actually have to pass the child through a metal detector before he goes into the nursery.
God willing,
there'll be another metal detector. It's just going to be one big pass through a metal detector.
She can only have 3 ounces of amnio fluid.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. She has to check the rest of the placenta. It's going to be weird trying to... I always think if there's other people watching us, other civilizations on other planets looking at us, we're just obsessed with law on them. What's the deal with metal? Oh, they're obsessed with it.
Gold and silver.
They have to pass it through everywhere. All right, so we will discuss that topic in a little more detail. Yes, and now as it turns out, both guys say they were molested, at least the guy who shot up the schoolhouse, and then Foley also.
But not Tommy Lasorda.
Oh, no, that's...
He did not say that.
Not yet.
I don't...
Okay, so that's not the...
Well, not yet, but
okay.
We'll speak to him.
We'll get
hopefully
to the bottom of that.
We can get that out of him. It's, as we've talked about, molestation's the gift that keeps giving.
I couldn't stop thinking about that yesterday.
It's really like naming a star after somebody.
Right, it'll always be there.
You get someone the decorative popcorn tin, that's gone on the weekend, but you name a star after somebody, or you molest somebody for your birthday, you know, for their birthday or Christmas, it just keeps going. These guys, 40 years later, still dragging around the baggage, you know, living with the ghost of, and then oftentimes snap and take it out on society. Now, normally, they molest other people. That's the way they do it. And people think, oh, come on, this is just an excuse to get people off the back of whoever. But if you think about it, if you're a 50-year-old guy, 55-year-old guy, and you think it'd be a pretty good idea to take a run at 14-year-old boys or even 6-year-old, I don't think there's anything really that's in the human DNA that would let us just be attracted. It's not like, well, you know, 5% of the population of males over 50 years of age are just attracted, just physically attracted to 6-year-olds or 13-year-olds. No, something is broken. And I'm glad this is the way it works. I don't think nature would let it go any other way. Nature would be a fool to let just certain percentage of guys be really super turned on by 5- and 6-year-old boys, you know.
It does seem like nothing mangles the human psyche like being molested at a young age. Nothing.
Well, the more you know. The more you know. Is there something like the TLST?
Now that all this is coming out, I'm a little offended that no one took the time to molest me.
I know. Jimmy has said it many times, too. I've heard him. He hung around with Father Bill, I think, when he was a young boy, Jimmy Kimmel. He has a father he was very close with, a priest that he would travel around with. It would take all the kids out.
All the signs, but he didn't never touch Jimmy.
Kimmel's a weird onion. You have to just keep peeling it. Yeah, when he was like 14 and 15, Father Bill and him, and he's still friends with him. The guy's in Vegas, and he every time he sees him, he accuses him of crushing Jimmy's self-esteem by not attempting.
Another sort of religious figure?
It is. You know what? I'm going to say something right now because I'm going to go insane. We're going to have to get up on this console and we're going to have to unscrew this light bulb that keeps flashing, Brusket, because our light bulb that flashes when we get dumped out on or beeped out on, we have a red light and it sort of lights up. It's like somebody won the big buck bonus or something. You expect to hear a siren just after it, but it's broken. It just keeps going off every 30 to 40 seconds or whatever. Of course, hasn't done anything since I started talking about it, but I'm going to have an epileptic seizure.
I was wondering, we should have taken bets on how long it would take before you were driven insane by this light flashing every 90 seconds. By the way, quickly, I just want to take a quick moment here to take a look at producer Brusca, who is covered in crumbs.
It's 6:07
a.m. Chubby.
It's his wife's first day off from school to take off for pregnancy leave, and so maybe she had time to make Brusca some extra snacks today.
Mmm. Right? Someone had waffles this morning.
She packed some cookies in there. We're eating cookies at 6 in the morning.
It really is like a caricature. You have crumbs resting atop your bosoms. It's really ridiculous.
Well, if he didn't have that D-rack, they would slide right off. All right.
Tell me about it.
Teresa, we're going to get caught up on this whole Foley thing. You have the transcript.
Yes. Your masturbation, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll hear that. And then Lycus is going to chime in as well.
Sure.
He's going to call in. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with those very damning details after this.
You asked for it. Now you've got it. Less ads, more Adam. The Adam Carolla Show.
It's time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Lights Out Tony, I'm writing concerning my daughter, who is 10. She signed up to play basketball, but now she cries whenever she has to go to practice or to games, and she wants to stop playing. Her mother and I divorced. Her mom says it's okay for her to quit, but I raised her believing that when you start something, you should finish it. Now it looks like I'm the bad guy. Should I let her go ahead and quit or make her finish? The Bad Guy, Circleville, Ohio.
Dear Bad Guy, before making your final decision, talk with your daughter and find out what's going on at those basketball games and practices that driving her to tears. She may have a good reason for wanting to quit. However, if she does quit, she should replace basketball with another sport or pastime that will keep her active, such as dancing, self-defense, or...
Lights out, Tony.
Timely. All right. T.
Yes.
you have some details for us and transcripts as well from this whole Mark Foley thing, yes?
Yes. Well, obviously yesterday his lawyer came out and said that the Republican congressman had been molested by a priest when he was a teenager. But ABC News has released pages and pages of instant messages that went on between Foley while he was a congressman and a page who was 16 at the time. These are from 2003. ABC News is publishing them on their website. They haven't been confirmed by other media, but the FBI and state officials are looking into it.
I don't know that there's much you can do anymore that does not leave some sort of electronic or paper trail or video trail.
Yes.
Or audible trail. I don't think there's many things you're going to be able to do. Again, I keep bringing my kids up. They're 4 months old. By the time they get to their prime years where it's time for them to start molesting or firing off bizarre emails or doing strange things to coworkers, I don't think anyone's going to get away with anything anymore. I mean, if you start effing with somebody at work or you start effing with someone at a convenience store or bank or an airport or an ATM or on half the corners of the city streets in this country or anything that Harvey Levin can't dig up and just find you doing.
That's right. TMZ.com is going to eventually end up with it. And it's shocking that a congressman wouldn't understand or would either be that or he would be so compulsive that he didn't care.
That's the sad part. That's why I want these guys. I don't mind a little molestation. Hey, that's their business, as long as they're serving their constituency. But they're so stupid, they think they can just fire off these emails to affluent families of children. You know, it's not like these kids come from foster care and have self-esteem issues where they're not going to tell anybody. These guys that come, these pages come from loving, affluent, two-parent families. They're going to catch on to this stuff immediately. It's the kind of household they come from.
Sure, it's a prestigious job to be a page.
Speaking of prestigious, Tom Likas is on the phone. Oh. Tom?
Yes, hello, Adam.
Good to see you, Tom.
Good to talk to you, dear.
It was great to see you at the think tank last Friday.
Yes, that was a wonderful time. Where were you two?
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't make it. I would have loved to have seen you.
Yeah, Dave wasn't there either, Tom.
Yes, we miss Dave.
Thanks.
Not a fan.
Well, Likas, I know you've been talking a lot about this case.
Yes, I have. In fact, I have. And I've been reading the transcripts, got up very early this morning to see the record close of the Dow.
Go score through the roof.
My FICO broke 900.
Wow, I thought it only went up to 8.
Last night at midnight, we broke 900 on my FICO.
That's great.
He's very proud of that.
Yes,
yes, I am proud. I would have a higher FICO score, Adam. But I have too many lines of credit there.
Right, I remember you discussing that during the think tank.
Yes,
yeah.
I have so many lines of credit that it actually lowers my score.
You're being punished for being too affluent.
Yes, yes, I've been singled out because I pay my bills on time.
I understand.
Doesn't seem fair.
So, T, you have the actual transcripts now of the Foley?
Yes, I should mention that he was former co-chair of the House Caucus on Missing and Exploited Children, which is...
Oh, boy.
Yes.
I would like to introduce myself to the Black Caucus.
Would you?
Yeah, that's me. I have always wanted to meet, and Bill, Gay Bordop Bill, has also expressed this desire as well. We both would love to meet the Big Black Caucus.
Yes.
They're a large, swinging group.
Washington, D.C., and you can meet them.
Yeah. Bill, maybe we'll make the pilgrimage next summer.
Yes.
We'll go to D.C., see if we can't shake hands with the Black Caucus.
Yeah, maybe I'll join you and I'll drive in my Likas Lexus.
Foley himself was molested.
Oh, wow. And he claims he was molested by a priest, dear.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
He's
well,
not
I know
saying...
a lot of I know a lot of chicks, and nobody else is going to say this, but I will. I know a lot of chicks who are working for these congressmen in our nation's capital, and they are there for one reason and one reason only. They want to get laid.
Oh, I see. The chicks do.
And that is what they want, and that is what they want to do. They don't want to learn how to write legislation.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to learn how to take minutes at a meeting with the constituents. They don't want to do any of that. Well, they want to get laid.
Tom, I understand you. As I was listening to you talk about this on your radio program yesterday, and you're very passionate about it.
Yes.
And it made me wonder for a moment, boy, he's got a lot of zeal and verve for this topic. I wonder if anything's ever happened to him.
Ah.
Now, I hope you take that in the spirit in which it's intended. But
I do, Adam. I take it in the spirit in which it's intended. I am not going to announce any sort of molestation.
No. Okay.
I'm not going to do that.
Not gonna happen, dear. I hear.
Well, Adam, I think you know, dear. After seeing me so recently at the think tank,
mm-hmm.
I think just by looking at me, you can determine I am a very sexual person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're passionate, man. You ooze sexuality.
I am a very sexual being.
I understand, but sometimes what creates that is a little misfortune early on in life with a family member.
There was no misfortune of a sexual nature.
I'm sorry, Tom.
But I very early started very early my heterosexual activity.
I understand.
Any young girl growing up in New York who wanted to get laid, they all knew to go to Tom.
What was her FICO score? I know she was only 13.
Well, I would think, Mr. Likas, that you would be a fan of internet sex because you don't have to pay, you don't have to take anyone out to dinner.
Yes, I only tell my boys, I tell my sons who listen on Likas 101, only go to internet sex sites that are free.
Right.
There is no need to pay for what you can get for free.
The more you know.
I said to you, Adam, why buy the cow when you're getting the milk, dear?
Right. I remember that very well. All right, Teresa, how about you launch into these transcripts? Because
okay.
I'm curious.
Here are some snippets.
That's good stuff, Tom. All right, Tom, we're going to read these transcripts now.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Just a warning, if you're at home with your kids, these are sexually explicit, though they have been read on many news stations. I just wanted to let you know that they are explicit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be skipping around a little bit, but let's start with
I will say one of the nice byproducts of this whole event is seeing very serious anchormen saying, I'm horny. I'm in my underpants.
That is amusing.
I like to dance when I'm in my underpants because I'm feeling horny.
Okay, now
I have a boner.
I love watching Wolf Blitzer say that cute butt bouncing up in the air.
Yes.
It is funny.
Okay, so here is part of the actual exchange.
Let me say, dear, if I might, just before you get into it, Paula Zahn is a piece of ass.
I've always found her attractive myself.
I have as well, Tom.
And I would take her out and spend no more than $40.
Really? Even for Paula Zahn?
Even for Paula Zahn. Okay, T, go right ahead.
Okay. All right, it starts out sort of innocently enough. Teen, ugh, tomorrow I have the first day of lacrosse practice. Foley, love to watch that. Those great legs running. Teen, haha, they aren't great. That's why we have conditioning. 2 days running, 3 days lifting, every week until the end of March. You'll be way hot by then. Skipping ahead. Now, here's where, just moments later, Foley really gets inappropriate.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Foley, did any girl give you a hand job this weekend?
Oh, dear.
Teen.
Oh, boy.
LOL, no. I'm single right now. My last girlfriend and I broke up a few weeks ago.
Well, it's obvious the teen has no game.
Foley, are you good? So you're getting horny? Teen, LOL, a bit. Foley, did you spank it this weekend yourself? This is a congressman talking to a 16-year-old.
The congressman has game. This is a guy who has been legislating for a long time. And knows people, and he's got game. This lacrosse player has gone a week without any release
What's up with the kid? I mean, what's up with the teen? He's not gay, right?
Well, he talks about his girlfriend, but he does. He is keeping this instant message going. To me, it seems like the congressman is somebody maybe he looks up to as his boss. He doesn't quite know how to handle the situation.
Yeah.
Now, here they get into a discussion, a very specific discussion about masturbation.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. Woo-wee.
2 or 3 times a week, Foley. That's a good number in the shower. Teen, actually, usually I don't do it in the shower just because I shower in the morning and quickly. Foley, in the bed. Teen, I get up at 5:30 and out of the house by 6:10. Yeah. Foley, on your back? Teen, no, face down. Foley. Love details.
Ooh.
Teen.
Yes, he does.
Teen, LOL, I see that, LOL. Foley, really? Do you really do it face down? Teen, yeah. Foley, kneeling.
LOL, I love that.
A lot of guys do some weird thing where they grind the box spring or they set up some maze of pillows or whatever. I would just caution all the young boys that are listening to the show. Whatever technique you decide is going to be your masturbatorial technique, make it easy. Make it something you could pull off in a freight elevator or waiting in a mall parking lot for the old lady to come out from the supermarket or on the road. Don't make it difficult. Try to keep the setup time to under 20 minutes because this is something you're going to be doing 5 times a week for the rest of your life.
Unbelievable. Adam, I wish I could say more about masturbation, but I pointed out to you and T a few moments ago that I had to masturbate. Guys who have game do not need to get married. They don't need to live with women. Women are cheap, and they're dream killers. Guys who have game can go out there any night of the week and get laid.
Right. You don't need to stoop to masturbation.
Right you are, dear.
Well, okay. just to wrap this
Speaking
up
briefly. Stooping, that's my technique, but go ahead.
The boy goes on to say, well, I don't use my hand. I use the bed itself.
Ugh.
Foley.
Oh, wow.
Foley.
Oh, wow.
Where do you unload it? Teen. Towel. Foley. Really? Completely naked? Teen. Well, yeah. Foley. Very nice. Teen. LOL. Foley. Cute butt bouncing in the air.
Mm. Your tax dollars at work.
Exactly. And then Foley later tells the boy, I always use lotion and the hand, but who knows?
Mm.
The boy says, I don't use lotion. Takes too much time to clean up. With a towel, you can just wipe off and go. Foley, LOL.
Yeah. Laugh out loud.
If you're over 50, should you be using LOL?
Yeah. No.
How about JOL?
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. Well, look, there really should be a JOL. Thank you. Thank you for that, Tom. Feels good.
JOL. It's worth it.
Yeah, easy cleanup for the 16-year-old. He's off to lacrosse practice. It's the maid that has to come into that wearing the hazmat suit every morning. I've done the math. I know my kid. He has my genes, nature, nurture. There's not going to be a thing in that kid's room after his 13th birthday that isn't just... It's going to be all tearaway stuff. No, there's going to be no towels. There's going to be a roll of paper towels. There's going to be no underpants. There's going to be adult diapers. Everything. Shirts are going to be made of paper. I'm going to have them wear hospital gowns around. I mean, I'm not going to bother washing anything. Why go through this?
I won't have any children because, of course, I insist on abortions.
Right.
But if I did, my son would have game.
Right.
And he would never need to masturbate, not even at 13 years old.
Well, my son... on his 13th birthday, I'm going to get him a one of those paper towel dispensers with a rope around it to just hang around his neck. He wear it like a horse wears a feed bucket.
Are you saying that as a teen, Adam, that your room, everything in there was covered?
I'm saying guys have many different techniques. There's many different techniques as there are guys. They're the guys who do the shower, the toilet thing. The guys that do the hamper towel thing, they're stepmoms. And I say stepmom because I assume I'll be in my second marriage by the time the kid gets into the teens. These women are going to be traumatized for about a 6-year span between the age of 13 or 14 and the time my kid moves out to eventually go to junior college or join the Coast Guard Reserve, whichever comes first. Why go through this charade of having him digging things out of the car? You know, I used to see my mom, she'd lay my tube sock across the top of the washing machine, and then she'd have to drop an elbow on it from the top of the turnbuckles to snap it just to get it into the washing machine. Why go through that ritual? Just have paper underpants.
Oh, boy.
Let's just make everything like a hospital. We'll put your paper down where the sheet was.
You'll have a hazmat suit for when you enter the room, just in case.
There'll be nothing that gets washed. It gets used once and tossed or thrown into an incinerator.
Oh, dear.
Am I right, Tom?
Oh, right you are, Adam.
All right, Tom, I think we need to take a break.
Yes, and of course we'll have more on this as the day progresses. If you'd like to call me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At home?
You can reach out to me. My number's 1-800-5800-TOM.
Mm-hmm.
1-800-5800-866.
What if we'd like to fire off?
Is my name Tom at blowmeuptom.com?
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you,
nice
dear.
Talking to
always
you.
Always a treat. So insightful.
Yeah, he has games, so he doesn't have to masturbate. I had no idea.
I gotta say, in the times of my life where I have been more active than others, didn't put a dent in the masturbation.
Really?
Separate.
It's a different thing, right?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, you know, sex is... it's good. It's good as a real thing, but it's it's good. But no, you know, oftentimes if you're with someone new, you're with a new partner, and you guys are doubling down on the sex, it just sort of fires up that little outboard motor you have in your ass. And because of the new partner and the frequency, it sort of has you in that mode all the time. So unless you're physically with them, it's time to get busy.
I just learned something else.
All right, T. Well, what else is going on in the news?
Well, it's molestation everywhere you look. If it's not Foley, it's the Amish gunman.
That's my porn name. I have a few.
But in your Amish
has a little chin beard.
Yes. I don't break it down, Dave.
I see.
You watch the films, you'll do the math. That's right. The Amish gunman is replaced Duke LaCrosse and Rich Data.
That's right.
Or whatever it was before. All right, so what else is coming up? Molestation,
the Amish gunman, and finally some happy news, a big celebrity pregnancy to report.
All right, we'll do that, plus sports, after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, homies? Jack Silver. Hey, today's show is giving me a stiffy. Dodgers legend and Hall of Famer Tommy Lasorda, comedian Demetri Martin, and, of course, Dave Jerklist. Hey, here's my nomination. Mike August for not booking enough hot ass in the studio. Some might call you power booker, but I call you a jerk.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Billy West still coming up. Did Jack mention that? I don't know if I heard Billy West.
Well, he doesn't have a big tatas.
Many amazing voices. And, of course, looking forward to Dave's jerk list. But first, Teresa Strasser in the news.
as we've been discussing, disgraced former the congressman was molested by a clergyman when he was a teenager, somewhere between the ages of 13 and 15. Foley also acknowledged for the first time through his lawyer that he is gay. His attorney called the admission part of his client's recovery and adds that despite these admissions, Foley accepts full responsibility for sending sexually explicit and suggestive computer messages to teenage male pages.
Yeah, the single guys in their 50s, especially the Republicans and the snappy dressers, the guy wear the nice kerchiefs stuffed into their lapel pocket there. Those folks, we'll just assume gay. You can always tell because their hair's tinted weird. And here's the thing about politicians. They're married. The older guys, they F around on their wives, but they're married. It's one of those political things. They like to pose as family men and then go ahead and bang chicks when they're, you know, on the road and things like that. But when they're single and they're snappy dressers and their hair's tinted, we'll do the gay math.
Well, as it turns out, a lot of Republicans had done the gay math, and it was not exactly a well-kept secret that, one, the congressman was gay, but also that his relationships with the pages were inappropriate. Now, last night on the O'Reilly Factor, a former page discussed how people felt, his fellow pages felt about Foley.
It didn't overtly serve my tenure in D.C. There was a moniker by which we described Foley. It was FFF, Foley the from Florida. And it was kind of a running joke, teenagers being teenagers, you know, high school kids not having exactly the best sense of civility. We ran with it.
Mm-hmm. If I was in Congress and I had pages, I would force them to wear the page boy haircut.
Really?
The
just
bangs.
Because they're pages?
Why not? You should wear the haircut that's named after what you're doing, shouldn't you?
Well, now Foley is...
If they were called mullets,
they would have
wouldn't
to
it be
a
disappointing if a guy showed up with a buzz cut?
What if Dorothy Hamill showed up and she didn't have the Dorothy Hamill?
Dorothy Hamill or Phoebe from Cheers, or what's her name?
Rachel.
Rachel from Friends. Yes, whatever the name of the group is, you must sport that haircut. Like I said, if a mullet showed up to assist you and the guy had a huge fro or he was shaved clean, it would be disappointing. The page need to be wearing page boys. That's what I've learned from this whole mess.
Well, another thing Foley's probably learned is that you can track instant messages. Again, some of the greatest hits from his instant messages, which have been published by ABC. Love to slip them off you, says Foley, teen, ha ha, Foley, and grab the one-eyed snake, grab, teen, not to a little horny. Now, there's one exchange that occurred at a different time, and this is getting a lot of press because, well, let me just read it to you briefly. Okay. Foley, I miss you. Teen, yeah, me too. Foley, we are still voting. You miss me too. Now, this would insinuate that this instant message exchange is occurring during a congressional vote.
Mm-hmm.
Foley takes a little break to instant message a 16-year-old page. Now, apparently, according to ABC News, what follows this exchange is a very, very sexual conversation involving a climax.
J-O-L.
Exactly.
Yes, of course.
So the lawyer is saying, listen, he's in rehab, and when he wrote all these instant messages, he was drunk. But when he was doing his congressional duties, he was not drunk. So during this exchange, it seemed to be that he was voting and instant messaging.
Well, I'm starting to wonder if politicians fill as important a role as we once thought they did. You know, presidents out of the White House for a few weeks. Everything seems to run the same as it did before he left. These guys are out campaigning the last 2 years of their term. Doesn't seem to change anything. We find out they're on extended golf vacations and stuff, or this guy's over at Camp David, or he's over on his ranch clearing brush. Anything ever change? I mean, I'm buzz going. So you got a boner. So you're IMing some teenager about his lacrosse practice in the middle of a congressional vote. Doesn't change things that much. I'm starting to wonder if these guys make any difference at all. I really do. I think maybe we're past that time. Maybe that was the 60s, and now everyone in there is just some figurehead who likes getting a cushy paycheck and taking nice golf vacations every year.
Well, in more molestation news, new revelations about why that Pennsylvania milkman killed five girls in an Amish schoolroom Monday. Authorities say...
It's also my poor name.
Amish schoolroom?
No, Pennsylvania milkman.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You were born in Philly, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
It's a little on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
The Pennsylvania... Now I can never say that again. Mm-hmm. The gunman confided to his wife during the siege that he had molested two relatives 20 years ago when he was a boy. Authorities said this yesterday. They said that he was tormented by thoughts that he would molest again. Now, if you do the math, that means that the attacker would have been around 11 or 12, and the two female relatives that he allegedly molested were about 3 to 5.
Right, but then kill yourself if you're worried that you're a monster, you may act out again or harm other children. Ironically, why are you holding them captive and then killing them? I know effed up is effed up, but...
Personally, that I saw yesterday was when the investigator held up a checklist of items that the Pennsylvania milkman had planned to purchase for this takeover, and it showed that he was... pretty clearly planning to sexually assault the girls. Flexible plastic ties, eye bolts, and lubricating jelly.
Eye bolts.
I was going to ask you what an eye bolt was.
Well, an eye bolt, I mean, there's eye hooks and then there's eye bolts. And an eye bolt is something that you might hang something with that has a machine screw on the other side of it. Now, the only thing I could think you would use an eye bolt for in that instance is to bolt a door closed or to barricade yourself in.
That's right.
Brian just pulled it up on the sound effects man extraordinaire. Brian just pulled it up on the thing, and that's what I described. It's a circle that has a machine screw on it, and it just takes a nut. And if you were hanging a heavy potted plant or a heavy bag or something, you might put this through a piece of plywood or something and screw it on. The other ones have eye bolts that have an auger screw on the end of it, a wood screw. You'd screw it into something. So eye bolts means he was going to barricade the door or something with that.
Eye bolts and KY are not things that should be together.
I am both in my rig, but I would never bring them out at the same time. They're for very different purposes.
Well, listen, finally, I'm going to end on two happy notes. Almost 5 months. That's actor Dean McDermott. We met them both when they were here. Very nice couple.
Yes, except for my wife becomes physically ill whenever Entertainment Tonight does a fluff piece on those two.
Because
she just can't stand the fact that she just got married, and then McDermott has a couple of, you know, it's always, what about the other kids? You know, what about his old kids? Yeah, he's so happy now. What about the family left behind in Canada or wherever it was?
I see the point. It's hard to like him.
I have to pretend to be outraged by it, too, because I realize if I'm not, it implies that I could easily leave them behind in a few years for a young actress.
Yes, Dean McDermott met Tori on a film, and then he left his family. And
yeah, it always goes like this at the Corolla house. Said, oh, that's sick. You know what? He has two kids back home that he has completely abandoned, and then me going, yeah, but you got to understand life. You know what? He's an animal. An animal.
Well done. Okay.
Where's my kids? I'm going to hug them while I can.
In another happy story, a woman in Denver, Colorado last Saturday, Mary, believe her last name is Bussy.
Mm-hmm.
She and her 13-year-old son were leaving to go to a Little League football game. They heard a baby crying. Mary looked up and saw a 9-month-old baby dangling from a third-story balcony, just holding on with the baby's little tiny fist. And so she went, and the mother had left her with her 10 and 13-year-old uncles, and apparently they weren't great babysitters.
I have here 15-year-old mother, but on the other hand, under occupation, I have a card here for Mary's on the phone. It just says occupation, nothing. So I'm not sure what she does. I guess baby catcher. Yeah. Mary?
Hi, good morning.
Great to speak to you.
Thanks, you too.
You know, it's so nice to hear some good news come out of the news every once in a while, because you hear all these horrible stories about molestations and school shootings, and then it's all made better by gals like Mary Bussy.
And thanks to my son, Brandon. He saw her first, that's
so
for sure.
You guys were heading to a Pop Warner football game?
Yeah, he was had to play at 1 o'clock. We were leaving about 12:15.
Mm-hmm.
And I made him take out the trash.
Sure.
And I guess chores are a good thing, right?
Right. So he takes out the garbage, and that's when you guys notice. This is a neighbor of yours, right?
This is. They live two units down in our condominium complex, and on the top floor. Mm-hmm. I was putting a chair in my car for the game. Brandon was taking down the trash down the sidewalk there, and he heard Kylie crying, which is a little baby, and he noticed her kind of sitting on the inside of the railing, but very close to the edge, and he thought, you know, there's got to be somebody up there with her. There's about four people other than the little baby that live in that. He looked up, and Kylie had come through the bars at the top, and I'm at my car, and he's yelling at me, Mom, you know, and I'm kind of looking at where the baby's crying, and she's completely outside of the railing now. And I kind of thought, you know, it was just odd. I thought for sure someone had her arm, you know, on the inside of the railing, and I thought maybe they just, you know, had slipped or she had slipped and they grabbed her, you know, because it was just the oddest sight. And the closer I got to her, I noticed it was just her and her itty-bitty little 8-month old fist wrapped around one of those steel bars.
Did you know the family? It was in your building, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've known them for a few years. Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
How old is the mom?
15.
15?
Mm-hmm. Wow. She's a young mom.
And she left the baby with her 10 and 13-year-old uncles?
Her brothers.
So the baby's uncles.
Correct.
I see. I see. And they were nowhere to be found. They left.
They did. They did.
And they left the door open.
Apparently, the door doesn't close properly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then the baby falls 20 feet, and you catch it.
So it's up on the third story or
it
the second
is.
Story?
Third story.
Third story.
Almost 19
so
feet.
So did you see the baby's fist let go from the railing?
And we're both looking up at this little girl, and I'm just amazed. I mean, I can't believe she was holding on, and the little girl's like looking down at me, and she's crying and got the big bottom lip going, and you know, and it wasn't like a terror cry. It was just like, I know I'm in trouble kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Brandon, I said, man, you got to run up those stairs as fast as you can to get that little girl from the other side. And as soon as he rounded, like, the first set of stairs...
She dropped.
She couldn't hold on, and it was just like, boom, right in my arms.
And you caught the baby just like you catch a pass.
Yeah, well, she fell kind of butt first, you know, horizontally, and I just held out both my arms, and she, like a cradle catch, kind of.
And then Brandon, who was so fired up for the Pop Warner game, came flying out, and he speared Mom right in the small of the back, dislodged the baby, ref slid in, did the juggling thing, no completion, all the ground. Yes,
not 2 feet inbounds.
He scooped the baby up and tried to take it to the house, literally into the house, but they said no. They blew it dead there.
Well, Mary, did you spike the baby in celebration and do a dance?
No, I hugged her as tight as I could.
So a couple of questions. What position does Brandon play?
He's a defensive lineman.
Uh-huh.
Big kid.
Big boy, huh?
Yeah, he is.
Good. And secondly, then what did you do with the kid? Because I have to tell you, I played 7 years of Pop Warner football. It's the only thing I had to look forward to in life. And if Mama would have said, we need to wait around for the Mama to come home so I can return the child or Child Protective Services, you'll not be playing in this game. I would have thrown a fit.
Oh, no, I was freaking out. I mean, as soon as I caught the baby, she stopped crying, and I started crying and shaking. And another neighbor was coming across the parking lot, and I'm screaming at her, call the effing police. You know, I'm just screaming, you know, because I knew there wasn't anybody around.
Right.
And so she's looking at me, and she's like, I don't have a cell phone, and I don't have it with me. And Brandon ran to the condo and grabbed the phone, called the cops. They came out, paramedics, everybody checked out.
Did Brandon make kickoff for his Pop Warner game?
He did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Team went on to lose 43-6.
Did the team win?
He won. Yeah, they're first in the league, and they're heading to the championship.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice. Well, you're really doing the Lord's work.
I kind of have to ask, are you an athlete, or you just had that mom superhuman strength thing where you could catch a baby?
I'm pretty athletic. Yeah, I used to be a long time ago. Being 38, you're not too athletic anymore, but, you know, yeah. I have a young son, so he keeps me pretty...
Single mom?
Yep.
The only thing my mom caught when she was single was herpes.
God.
Yeah, sad.
Okay, then.
All right, Mary. Well, you're doing a great job, and I'm disgusted here to see that the kid was later returned to her 15-year-old mother.
Oh, yeah.
With no charges have been filed.
Not yet. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really hoping, because I'm surprised. Literally, I told Brandon when I knew that that girl was pregnant, I was like, there's something going to happen to that baby. I just know it.
Well, why wouldn't it?
She's a baby herself.
When you're 14 or 15, you can't have, you can't buy booze and you can't drive an automobile. There's a whole bunch of reasons why you can't do a whole bunch of stuff when you're a minor, because you're not developed. You're not responsible enough. I know I sound a little preachy here, but raising a child... I would rather have the 14 and 15 year olds of this country driving than I would than them raising children.
Yes.
And this is what happens. You make horrible, irresponsible decisions. Do you know where Mama was when this happened?
Apparently she's got herself a part-time job somewhere. So, and the boys are out.
Nanny.
Hey, buddy. My daughter's dangling off a balcony right now.
That's a good one.
All right. All right, Mary. Well, really, again, God bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, do you have any idea who I am?
No, sir, I don't.
I'm just checking.
Yeah.
Just you ever watch The Man Show?
No. No, you know what? I'm a student, and I work full-time, and I hardly ever watch the news.
How about you study basic cable a little bit, sweetie? All right, anyway, you did a decent job the other day.
Yes,
whatever.
Nice work.
I assume we would have done the same.
Yes, well, I hope she keeps vigilant while walking under the awning of her neighbor from here on out.
15-year-old and probably pregnant at 14. All right, I'm handed this note that apparently we're dumping out a lot in this show, that there's some problem, we're having a technical problem that is causing the show to drop out. Huh. So it's going to be very confusing. I'm not sure how to remedy it, but we're working on it as we speak.
Okay.
You want to take a break then?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll... okay. Let's see.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Now, we can't take callers. Is that where it's dumping?
Yeah. Actually, we could do the sports. Does not take any callers. We're basically shutting the dump button off, so act in your best behavior.
Oh, I see. You can't.
We are
can't
without
take
a
callers.
Nap like that little baby.
I see. All right.
So I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Wow.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
I hope we get all these little problems worked out before we go on the air. All right, listen, it was a disappointing day yesterday down in San Diego way. Padres got shut out by the St. Louis Cardinals. Those two teams do it again tomorrow. The people of Oakland, meantime, pleased as punch. Their Athletics went into Minnesota, beat Johan Santana, baseball's best pitcher, thanks to two home runs from the big herd Frank Thomas. Game two of that series starts pretty much as soon as we go off the air. Esteban Loaiza for the A's going against the wonderfully named Boof Bonzer.
Boof Bonzer!
Playoff baseball in Queens, New York today. NL East champion Mets hosting the NL wildcard LA Dodgers. Blue Bums Derek Lowe going up against El Duque Orlando Hernandez. There was talk he might not pitch, but now he says he is going to pitch. We've got Tommy Lasorda coming up later today. Los Angeles alive with excitement, thanks largely to one Adam Carolla, who hosted a Dodger rally Monday night. Here's just a little sample from that exciting event.
They say LA is not a sports town, but don't tell that to the Dodger fans.
They were thrilled to see you there.
Adding to the electricity, Dodger shortstop Rafael Furcal with his keys to victory in this series.
I think the pitching means anything in this and the defense, and because it's too short, because we got to play like 3 out of 5. And then with the pitcher, we got a good team to keep playing hard.
Yeah, Yes.
Why does anyone talk to anyone who's actually participating in the game? In any sport.
I heard three out of five.
They seem to know less than almost everyone else.
Here's
a little more.
Can you do movie reviews for us?
Here's more insight from Rafael Furcal.
You know, Dedelo is one of the best pitchers. You know, he know how to pitch. And then he's a veteran guy. He loves to pitch, and then I think he's doing a great job for us.
Huh?
But is it any better than the farm... The corn-fed farm boys like, well, right now it's about pitching, it's about throwing, it's about hitting. The team that crosses the plate the most times is going to walk away with the victory. We're not looking ahead to the next game.
At least this is
entertaining, yes.
Here's a little bit more from Rafael.
Oh, good.
You're the best around. Nothing going to ever keep you down. You're the best around.
It's all very confusing. At least we did catch up at the rally with Dodger legend and Padres legend Steve Garvey. You might remember him hitting a big home run for the Padres after many years, obviously, of leading the Dodgers into the playoffs. We asked him, who do you prefer? Who would you rather see go to the World Series, the Padres or the Dodgers? Here's his answer.
Oh, gosh, you know, I'm rooting for both teams. I just hope they get to the NLCS and play each other.
All right, wishy-washy there. A little more decisive, however, when asked about Mr. Adam Carolla.
Well, he's a legend. He's a boy among men. He's obviously been in the shadow of Jimmy Kimmel all these years. You know, God willing, he'll be on the show, past next week. I know he has a short-term contract.
He loves you.
He's game for Kimmel, that's why.
Damashek's number one sports.
Kimmel's been gay for Garvey ever since Garvey first hit the diamond and Kimmel first sprang from his pop's loins. Really.
He's always talked about Garvey.
A lot of guys gay for Garvey. I don't know what makes that okay, but he's been gay for Garvey the whole time. Obviously, now that Kimmel, who's been gay for Garvey since he was 13 years old, now that Kimmel has his own late night show, the worm has turned. The gay shoe is on the other gay foot. Now Garvey, gay for Kimmel, and it's turned into a horrible gay cycle, a vicious gay cycle.
Poor Adam.
Is there any other kind?
There's no room for the ace man. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. We're going to try to sort out our technical difficulties. We'll not be taking any phone calls for obvious reasons. I think what we should do is the jerk report or the jerk list or whatever we're calling it today.
Is that right?
Well, a lot of the other stuff. I could tell a story. I might do that. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll do some soul searching during the break. But jerk list. Otherwise, I'll tell a story. Either way, we're not going to be taking any phone calls. We got Billy West, Tommy Lasorda, other folks showing up on the show. So we'll sort out. I'll tell you what. We'll surprise you after this.
You asked for it. Now you've got it. Less ads, more Adam. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Let's find out what you have to say on the Jerk Hotline.
Hey, Dave, this is Patrick calling from Vancouver in Canada, and I'd like to nominate End Zone Dancers. The time and effort these jackasses put into rehearsing their little talent shows should be going to the game, not themselves. Act like you've been there before. This isn't a variety show. You're not solid gold dancers. You're jerks.
To nominate your jerk, call the Jerk Hotline at 323-930-7318. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, the jerk list. We will hear from that coming up shortly.
Jerk Hotline ringing off the hook this week.
Really?
Yeah.
First, I will tell a story. Now, we had some technical difficulties. Something's going on with our delay, our dump button, so we can't accept phone calls because if you guys dropped an F or an S bomb as you normally do. Well, then, and Lasorda's calling in later on, and that guy will curse up a blue streak. I've heard him on the mound many times. Actually, we went to Dodger Town with Lasorda. Me and Kimmel went there and tried out for the team some years back on the Man Show, and we ate lunch with Lasorda, and he does a lot of swearing even over lunch.
Really? He works blue.
Yeah. He bleeds Dodger blue, and his mouth oozes blue words. So we'll talk to him in a moment. Coming up a little later, also the jerk list, Billy West coming in. But first, I will tell a story since it doesn't involve taking phone calls and I hopefully can control my foul mouth. The story goes back to about, must be 7 or 8 years ago now. Ryan, how about a little story music? I know you're working on your fantasy football league then.
How's the fantasy foot? How's the fairy tale football going?
They're more demeaning. Story goes back about 8 years ago, I would say 7 or 8 years ago. Dr. Drew and I, thank you, used to do a lot of traveling. It was back when Loveline was on MTV. Loveline was very popular amongst college students, and there was money to be made in the whole college lecture thing. We go from college to college, and they'd have 3,000-4,000 people would show up, and we'd do our thing. We'd just take questions for about an hour and a half. I'd tell a few filthy stories, and we'd go back to our hotel rooms. Lots of interesting stories from the road. We had a horrible manager at the time. He still has the horrible manager, that is, Dr. Drew does. We had to make our own way to the airport, and then when we got picked up, it was pretty funny. You know, Drew's the only guy I met in show business who may have lower self-esteem than I do. We would do these college tours, and we'd end up in DeKalb, Illinois, or we would end up in Wichita, or we would end up in Kansas City, and we would get picked up at the airport by a student. And it was oftentimes the student who was involved with the student association or whatever it was who was booking the talent. And oftentimes, actually more than not, they would show up in two-door hatchback Celicas. And Drew and I, with a week's worth of luggage, would have to pile in the back of the Celica, which wasn't the guy's Celica. It was his roommate's hatchback Celica, and it had his laundry in the back. I mean, right. Literally, I'm not exaggerating, two-door 79 Celica with a hamper filled with dirty laundry in the back seat. You have to push that aside. Then you'd open the hatchback and see if there was enough room for our luggage. There never was. The luggage would sit on your lap. He would then drive you to the hotel. The first question he would ask is, do you guys know how to get to the hotel? Sure. I know where the DeKalb Red Roof Inn is. I've been there many times. I'll lead you away. As a matter of fact, I could do it blindfolded and drunk. No, I don't know where the hotel is. I've never been to your godforsaken city before. But that was first question. And then question number two oftentimes was, you mind if I swing by my house and change my pants? A guy literally wanted to swing by his house and change his pants. It was snowing outside. I'm not sure where we were this time, but he wanted to swing by the house and change his pants. And he changed, I always remember this, from denim jeans to black jeans. That's all he did. He just changed the color of his denim, and he came back in the car. Meanwhile, we're sitting out in the car, the two-door, smashed into the back of the two-door. It's snowing outside, and people are walking by because it's a college town, and we're on, like, Fraternity Row or whatever, and they're knocking on the window. Hey, Loveline! Hey, it's Drew and Adam. We're actually, like, on display because we're packed like sardines into the back of the hatchback. And we're just sitting there in the driveway waiting for this guy to go up to his house and change. Eventually, when we almost got killed in Kansas City because a chick had a car that was not roadworthy and passed the venue by about 80 miles on the way there and then got lost on the way. At a certain point, we said, look, we just need a car. We need a professional driver. This isn't working out with the super stone confused students picking us up and their cars that aren't safe to be driven at highway speeds. But that's another story. We had to provide transportation to the airport, drop the car off, and whatever. We were going to be out of town for about a week. We were doing about 4 or 5 colleges. First college, Florida State. There were, I found out later on, Seminoles. Seminoles, but this could have been Florida. I'm not sure. Anyway, big school in Florida. Found out later there were 9,000 people at the venue we were doing. Just not Foghat and the guys from Loveline, just us, 9,000 people showed up. I was as surprised as you are. I said, look, we're going to be out of town for a week, Drew. You live over in Pasadena. I live in Hollywood. We're going to LAX. I see no reason why I should pay $100 leaving my car at the park and drive or you either. How about you pick me up on your way in since I'm in Hollywood and you're in Pasadena and we're heading to LAX? Pick me up on the way in, and we'll split the price of the car storage thing and have a little company for each other. He said, no, can do. I said, why not? He said, I have to make the rounds at the hospital before I go into the airport. I said, well, we have a 7 o'clock flight out of LAX. That means we're going to have to hit the road about 5:15, 5:30. It's almost midnight now. You got some work to do in between now and then? Yeah, I got to go to the hospital. Drew's a maniac with this stuff. He said, if you want, you can come home with me tonight. sleep on the sofa. I'll get you up about 4, and when I'm making the rounds, you can just wait in the car. I said, will you leave the window cracked so I can get some air?
Like a little puppy?
He said, oh, screw you then. Don't do it. I said, Drew, are you kidding? Just go make your rounds and come pick me up. We'll go to the thing. No, I don't have that kind of time. I got to see patients. Drew actually had to see patients before 5:30 in the morning.
My old man always did the same
dedicated.
Thing. 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I'll tell you, doctors, these, unlike Bill Simmons, the sports guy from ESPN, who couldn't make it in Monday because the show starts before noon, I'll tell you, you want someone who can rally. Doctors, these guys are used to working 100, you know, during, when they're interning and stuff, they're doing 120-hour weeks and sleeping in broom closets and God knows what. Drew had an endless capacity to do this. He would go to bed at, yeah, a little booger sugar didn't hurt either. He would go to bed at 1 a.m., get up at 4 a.m., and go to work oftentimes. Never a problem. So I said, no, pick me up. He said, no, not going to do it. I said, well, that's it. I'm putting my foot down. I'm not driving myself. We're not taking 2 cars. I'm not going to leave my car for a week. Somebody's going to have to drive me, and if it's a listener, so be it. He said, all right, really? So be it. So I said, all right, whoever's listening out there wants to drive me to the airport in about 5.5-6 hours, I'm going to need to hear from you. I'd like it to be a chick, because I don't want to get raped by the side of the road.
Right.
I'm the raper, not the rapey.
Good to know.
Says it's got that little sticker right on the driver's license that says raper.
Right.
I want it to be a chick. It'd be nice if it was an SUV, a little room to spread out and hold a week's worth of luggage. And I'd like to give her a quick interview, make sure she's on the up and up, because this is a pretty important gig. Fine. So we start taking a few phone callers. And I find a girl, and she says, you know what? I have to get up at 5 every morning to go to work anyway. I work as whatever. And I sussed her out as best I could with the time that I had. And I said, nah, so be it. I'm going on a hunch. She's 25, described herself as cute, lived in my neighborhood. At the time, I lived up the Beechwood Canyon area. Toward the Hollywood sign, for those of you who are out of the area. I said, fine, you pick me up at 5:30 in the morning, and no problemo. It's not going to be any traffic at that time. She said, fine, no problem. I'm up that way anyway. I started thinking about giving her my address. I was living alone. I realized my house would be empty for the week I was gone, and I thought, I don't know if I want to give her my exact address. So I said, I'll tell you what. Beechwood Canyon goes right up the canyon there. I will meet you on Beechwood Canyon, which is down from my house, down many stairs. Now, out here in Los Angeles, up in the hills, they'll have these stairs that connect one street to the next. And these are the streets. These are the stairs that the workout guys take their hard body starlets to and have them run them. You'll see them running these stairs because they're almost vertical and they're endless. Leads one to the next. I'm up on top of the one street. I'm up on my street, but I say, I'll meet you right at the base of the stairs down on Beechwood. Now, just head up. You'll see me. I'll be the guy out there with the Samsonite and the overcoat. It was raining. It was cold weather. It was cold outside. I'll be the only guy standing out there with luggage at 5:30 in the morning. You just head up Beechwood, go past the store. I'm right there on the right. All right. See you then. Fine. So I got up. You know, I do my usual thing. Go to bed at 2 a.m. Get up at 5 a.m., pack my crap. It's that kind of cold and dark that it only is at 5 a.m., you know? I don't care. If it's raining and it's dark and it's 9 o'clock in the evening, it never is what it is at 5 a.m. Maybe it's because it's early and you're disoriented, but I swear there's something different about the cold and the rain and the whatever. But it's 5 a.m., now it's 5:30. I have 2 big suitcases. I got a week's worth of luggage. I dressed and pressed. Dave knows that. So when I travel big. And I got the overcoat on and I'm layered and I head down this endless flight of stairs. So, you know, it's dark, cement stairs, they're wet. I'm slipping and sliding all the way down and I plop myself down on Beechwood and there I stand and it's raining and there's nobody around. And it's that time when the whole world is asleep. Like it feels like you're the only person that's awake. You and hopefully the bitch that's supposed to pick you up. Although I now suspect she was not awake either.
Wait, did you have her cell phone number?
I had nothing. I had nothing but my own
grief.
Well, I was going to say cunning and wits, but no.
You trusted somebody.
I trusted someone. I put my heart out there.
Yeah.
And that was a mistake I made. And I stood there. And then I thought, maybe she got a little bit confused. Maybe she stopped up at the market and didn't turn the bin. I'll just head down. I'll leave my luggage here. It's too heavy to lug. And I'll break out in the jog. Now I'm getting that thing going where it's the worst feeling in the world, where you're sweating underneath your many layers. Part of it is generated heat because you're layered. The other part is just flap sweat. Oh, Christ. Clock ticking now. A little pant going, a little disoriented. I jog down. I see nothing. I'm worried about my luggage sitting out on the sidewalk in front of someone's house just all alone, but there are no cars coming. I don't see anything coming. I don't see any headlights. I stand around by the corner. I don't see anything. Now I think, oh, maybe she went up past me. Maybe I went to the next corner. I'm trying again. I got that flap sweat going underneath the layers of long sleeves. Leaf shirts and the overcoat.
Dewey
and everything.
Bum. That's
Dewey
the worst.
Bum.
Swamp ass. Yeah, it's no good.
Great lineman name, but a horrible thing to happen. You Dewey Bum.
If Dewey Bum met Amish Milkman, it wouldn't be pretty.
Yes. Worst gay porn ever.
So we run up to the next corner. Nothing. Nothing. Now I'm checking my watch. It's 5:45, 5:50. The plane's leaving at 7:05, and it's the kind of thing where, because of the time difference, I got to get to Florida. We got a 2-hour drive from the airport to the college, so on and so forth. We're behind 3 hours here. If I don't make this flight, we're screwed. I know Drew. He's already at the airport waiting for me. So I run, and I realize at a certain point, I got to cut bait. This bitch is not showing up. Now I have my 200 pounds worth of luggage, my Dewey Bum and my flop sweat, my overcoat, but I got to hoist it up like a Sherpa up 700 stairs just to get back up to my house. And now it's that flop sweat meets adrenaline meets layers. You know, just lugging the thing, cursing her name, angry at Drew. I make it up to the top, and now the Mission Impossible theme is going off in my head because it's essentially 6 a.m., sun's starting to come up, birds starting to chirp, still rain coming down. I got to get to this airport.
You have an hour.
I have essentially an hour to get to the airport. I throw the luggage in the back of the car, and I just haul ass at that point. You know, I don't know where I'm going to park the car. I'm going to be gone for a week. It doesn't matter. I'll drop it off in a place that says $500 a day. If it's 20 feet closer to the terminal, I'm going for it at this point. I'm hauling ass, weaving through traffic all the way there, angry at her, angry at my parents. I always weave them in. Angry at Dr. Drew, angry at the world. I get to the airport, pull into like the Wally Park, throw the keys at some guy of some crazy nationality, dive in the back of his bus, tell him there'll be no laps picking up stragglers. I need to go. I start screaming at him. Maybe I pull some money out and grease his wheels a little bit. Flying to the terminal. I'm going through that terminal like OJ at this point again, just sweating profusely, if not stop sweating. Finally, you know, make it through security. Security, again, wasn't as big a deal 8-9 years ago. Pull up to the terminal. I think it was Delta, and there's Dr. Drew. He's standing in front of the airplane. I can see the airplane through the window. The gate is still attached to it, the whole 9 yards. I have a first-class ticket, as memory serves, and it's 6:53, but the plane has not left. I've made it. As a matter of fact, there's Dr. Drew. So I'm winded. Get on the plane, Drew. I got off the plane. I was on the plane. I got off the plane because you weren't on the plane. And what am I going to do over there without you? I said, okay, fine. Let's argue about it on the plane. Oh, no. You'll not be getting on the plane. What? Why not? The gate's still attached. The skyway's still on the plane. The door was shut. We'll open it. We'll get on the plane. Sir, that's not the way it works. The thing's still attached to the plane. I would have been on the plane by now if we not had this argument. Just open the door. Let us on the plane. No, that's not the way it works. Then Drew realizes that his $2,000 camel hair long duster jacket that his wife just bought him, his wife that pee-whips him on a regular basis, is up in the overhead storage of the plane. He got off the plane and left that behind. He's now scared and angry, and he's angry with me, and that $2,000 camel hair coat is going to destinations unknown. He'll not be with it. There's a fat chance that he'll ever recover it. He's thinking about the conversation he's going to have with his shrew of a wife when he gets home. I'm yelling at the Delta representative. We're now going on minute number 10 of this argument. The gate is still attached to the goddamn plane. Just let us walk on to the plane. The door's been closed. Meanwhile, I've seen people come and go through the gate. Now, they weren't guys wearing Bermuda shirts and Bermuda shorts and Hawaiian shirts, they were Delta people, but clearly people were walking on and off of the plane. We could have been on by now. Now, sir, there, I have a ticket. There's an empty seat on that plane. I saw a couple of guys walk in and out three or four times. We had this argument. We're going on minute number 14 of this argument. The plane's still there. No way. And then I said to the thing to the guy that, I said this to the guy, which got him confused. It got Drew confused. I was the only one who had clarity on it. I said, look, I'm not getting anywhere with you. I could have been on this plane. Five, I could have gone on and off it five different times by now, but you wouldn't let me on because of some technicality. You're not helping at all. You know the guy I want to talk to? I want the guy from the commercial. What? The commercial, the helpful guy. You know the guy who chases folks down because they left their briefcase over here, or the yes ma'am or yes sir, whatever we aim to please. Where's that guy? Where's the guy from the Delta commercial? Go get him. Now, Drew had now realized he was about to dart me at that point. He keeps a syringe in his sock for these emergencies. Realized the Ace Man had come unglued at that point when I started screaming for the fictional guy from the commercial. But I want to talk to the super helpful guy who does nothing but help people solve problems from the commercial. I've seen him before. The guy has no idea what I'm talking about. He's screaming at me, calm down. I've been staring at the pilot through the glass for the last 20 minutes, but he won't let us on the plane. Still... Jetway still attached to the airplane, so we just have to sit there. Now, Drew's fuming mad at me because his $2,000 camel hair jacket is on the plane and he's off. I'm pissed at Drew because if he just picked me up like a human being, like a buddy would do, we wouldn't have had to go through this. I'm blaming it on the chick who didn't pick me up. He's yelling, it's my fault. Now we're off the thing. There's 9,000 people in Florida that are going to be waiting for us. We somehow got on the following flight, which was only about an hour later, and through driving 90 miles an hour through Florida, we're able to make it to the basketball arena where
triumphant. You put Dr. Drew on your shoulders, and then you dressed, and he put a fake mustache on. He's like, I'm the co-pilot.
That's right. I'm nine foot tall co-pilot.
Did you ever hear from the girl who promised to pick you up?
Never did. And got back on the air Sunday night and went into a vitriolic, a venom-filled tirade that lasted the first hour of the radio show. No phone calls were taken that evening. She never showed her face. She was never woman enough to buck up and take her medicine. And to this day, I have no idea if she's alive, if she's living in the Los Angeles area, whatever happened to that woman, and why she was responsible for the worst day of my life.
Is there any chance that it was Dr. Drew's wife?
It very well could have been, trying to teach me a lesson. Wait in the car. Sleep over. It was like, 33 at the time. I'm going to go sleep on a sofa with this kids and this dog.
Maybe read you a bedtime story.
Oh, it was so painful. Well, I feel like I've just relived it. Now I need to come down. By the way, when we did Loveline, listeners would send in baked goods and we would eat them. They'd send in cookies wrapped in foil with a little scotch tape around it to hold it together. We'd break right into it. We relied heavily upon the listeners and obviously trust them one too many times.
That
was
the last
time. And was burned because of it. All right. I got a note here that says they have a story, but I'm guessing that's Bruska's writing, or is that you? Oh, it's you. What do you got, Bri?
I was going to say, this is actually before I worked for Loveline, but I remember this very, very well. I was a listener before I worked there, and a young Brian Bishop called up to offer you a ride.
Oh,
but I was told by the screener that they already had a girl.
God damn!
He would have showed up on time.
Oh, of course he would have.
I was barely employed at that time.
He would have had a breakfast burrito for you.
You see, I had my no sausage policy.
Well,
I thought, I don't want some dude overpowering me and rolling me by the side of the road on the way to the airport. I want a nice, docile, good-looking chick who can drive me to the airport, but I never counted on
Brian.
You
could have had a docile, good-looking guy.
That's kind of adorable, though, Brian, that you would offer that.
You did call in, though.
I did. I talked to a girl screener. I don't think it was Tara. It was one of the old screeners, and what happened was, they're like, oh, we already got a girl who said she wants to do it.
Wow. All right. Well, could have dodged that bullet, but it made for a good story.
Yes.
We need to take ourselves a break. Billy West. Yeah. Oh, Billy West has a story about a trip to the hospital he took.
Ooh.
Ren and Stimpy and just about every voice you hear on TV, as well as all the great ones you remember from back in the day on the Howard Stern Show. Take a quick break. Billy West in after this on the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm listening to Adam Carolla, and I'm learning everything about comedy.
He's bad news. He drinks and smokes, and he posts naked pictures of me on the internet.
You shut up, you fat, bloated pig!
Report to my bedroom for a private exhibition.
The many voices of Billy West.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
And now he's on the Adam Carolla Show.
I kind of like this song.
What is it?
Moody Blues.
Moody Blues, like, comeback thing in, like, the later 80s. Not a great song, but I kind of like it. I'm embarrassed to admit it. Billy West in studio.
Hi.
Great to see you, Billy.
Good to see you, too. I've been taking notes this morning on your show, and I want to join in on the foliage.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, we were reading some transcripts earlier in the morning.
Teresa just pulled up a freeze frame of a broadcast on Fox, and they've got the picture of Mark Foley, and next to his parentheses, D.
They've accidentally calling him a Democrat.
Oops. Accidentally, yes.
Their argument is that's a grade. They're giving him a D for molestation. Yes.
Oh, they get a D for being dehumanized live species.
Degenerate.
So the many voices. Let's see. Here's Foley. I'm an alcoholic, and I was sexually molested by a clergy last week. Join the club, you sissy.
Yeah, everybody. You're from the Boston area, right?
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you were molested.
Sure.
That's how you got all those voices.
Oh, that's a priest, you know. That's a repose for homosexuality. The seminary.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody knew that.
Well,
you know, when your kid had, they used to call it the calling.
Mm-hmm.
When the kid had the calling, meant he was gay.
Yeah.
Just get him into the seminary. He'll be a nice priest.
Right.
But, you know, they can't keep them bony fingers to themselves, those priests. I used to be real Catholic. Mm-hmm. Real Catholic until I heard about the betrayals that went on in those confessional booths.
Well, let's just do the math. When you're a 13, 14-year-old boy and you're interested in the ladies, you should not be getting anywhere near the priesthood. I mean, the calling be damned. If you want ladies, and when you're young and the hormones are popping and you're just kind of getting started down your sexual path, there's nothing that could stand in the way of you and a nice set of knockers. The idea that you would say, well, I'll never be with a woman. I'll just hang out with guys in black frocks. Obviously, there's something up.
Well, these guys, you know, they get boys in front of them with their tongues out, giving them communion. And, right. You know, I mean, that's bad news, because who knows if it's one of them hosts, you know, that unleavened Bible bread there, the little thing, the wafer.
Mm, yeah.
Well, I mean, it might be Rohypnol, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, you work a roofie into the body of Christ.
Kind of a 1-2 punch.
Take it right off the fleshy diving board. Interesting.
Yeah, but this betrayal.
That'd be an awesome move, baking a roofie into the sacrament.
Body of Christ.
Well, then you mix it with wine, right? Because don't you drink the blood of Christ?
Blood of Christ.
Yeah. I don't think he wanted blood taken through a funnel, though, Father.
I was an altar boy?
No.
Oh, God, yeah. I was growing up Catholic, and I was an altar boy. I knew the Mass in Latin, and I used to go, you know, I had the backstage pass, you know, the little laminates of the Virgin Mary.
I think Kimmel was an altar boy as well.
I knew the Mass in Latin.
Really? Can we hear some of it?
Pater noster, quis in caeli, sancti vice, nom tuum, vignat regnum tuum, fiunt volatus tua. You're distracting me with your tongue open for communion. Yeah, I did. And I was spared, though. I was never molested. I never had bony fingers on my knee backstage.
We talked about it.
You need a massage. The Lord wants you to have a massage.
We were talking about it earlier in the morning that Jimmy feels slighted that he wasn't molested. He feels like it's because he wasn't attractive enough.
I mean, he was an altar boy. He was right there.
Made him feel fat, he said.
Oh.
They call him altar boys because the priest alters the course of your future. Oh. You know, you gotta hack through a lot of scar tissue when that happens. That's why I feel bad for these pages.
Yeah.
I like that you've turned the word page into teen, though. It's a better, you know, angle on the story.
You teen. Like that?
Yeah, teen.
Yeah. Teen, yes. Yes. You
know. And they knew about this since 2003 is what I'm hearing.
Well, you know, they always, whenever something like this goes down, they always try to bust the guys who knew about it but never said anything. And I would love to say they're as guilty as the guys who did it, except for, truth be told, I wouldn't say anything either.
Not really.
If I found out that you, Billy West, was molesting again, or that Dave had started...
again?
You heard me. Or that Dave had started molesting, and I start finding some weird email paper trail, and it was brought to my attention, there's no way I'd go march down the hall and tell Jack Silver about it. I'd just be like, hey, Dave, come on, buddy, knock it off. Let's go. Let's not let this happen again, and then we'd move on. I wouldn't call the cops. I wouldn't do anything. And I don't think anyone listening would either. We always try to get the guy who knew about it in trouble. But truth be told, if my wife robbed the bank or Dave was carrying on emails with 14-year-olds, whatever the scenario is, and it could be up into murder, I would be like, dude, you effed up. Don't ever do it again, and let's pretend we never had this conversation. And I don't know another person that would do anything differently.
But that's what they did, though. Didn't they go nip it in the bud? You know, it's like, here's one of the emails.
Yes, but they're getting in trouble for it.
Well, here's the email Foley had from 2003. Oh. They nipped this whole thing in the bud. They knew in 2003. They came right down to my office and told me to...
Are you typing or is that a squirrel eating?
Because we actually have the sound effect.
We do have the
typing. You know what? I keep forgetting because when I'm sitting at home, I have to go... Right. They came right down to my office.
How about you get a keyboard so you can actually send real emails?
Come on, this bit's going to lie here.
All right, sorry. Sorry, buddy.
Interloping.
Sorry.
This bit is on life support.
Sorry, Billy West,
I'm
everybody.
I'm so humorous. I got notes here. This is like some comedian, you know, real pro. They came right down to my office, and they told me to get rid of my mood music, which was my collection of Vienna Boys Choir CDs. And my Menudo calendar and my old Macaulay Culkin memorabilia.
You paint a picture.
You know what? There's more of those, though.
Oh, there's more?
Yeah, there's more emails. Yeah.
Let's hear them.
Let's see. I kind of like that Ryan Seacrest. I love it when he says Seacrest out. Not yet, but I heard it might happen by next year. Attention closets, prepare for search and seizure.
So this is Foley sending an email.
This is Foley sending
I hadn't read these emails anywhere else.
What do you call the stupidest guy in prison who keeps getting talked into sex? An ignoramus. Wait, there's more. God. You know what? It's a good thing the Republicans are being destroyed because they were going to destroy the middle and lower middle class, which is where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know there's a place I can go back to when I throw that showbiz gutter ball, like today.
No.
No, no, look. No.
As long as you're
worse.
Doing the voice of the M&Ms.
That's right.
Or the Honey Nut Cheerios B.
Yeah!
There's always going to be a paycheck in your future.
Honey Nut Cheerios! There's a gutter ball. I don't even know. I don't even know if I'm doing that Honey Nut Cheerios B.
I didn't know that I had a speaking role, that B. I just saw it buzzing around and annoying folks that are trying to eat.
Well, somebody said it's not me, that it's somebody younger now and everything.
They replaced you?
Oh, sure.
The Cheerios
happens all the time.
People?
I don't have any emotional investment in that stupid bee, except it was a house in Bermuda like 10 years ago.
What's going on with Futurama?
Oh, it's coming back next year on Comedy Central.
So Fox is done away with Futurama, which has been on for how many years on Fox?
It was on for 5 years, except it was in the Witness Protection Program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kept, like, shuffling it around and canceling it and everything.
Right.
There's a little infighting, I think, going on.
And now it's coming back, but it's coming on Comedy Central.
On Comedy Central. And we just did a DVD movie, full-length feature. It's incredible.
For Futurama?
Yes.
Okay. We need
but, to... You know, Jeff Foxworthy, I don't hear much from him anymore, but I have this great idea for him.
The blue-collar comedy guy.
The blue-collar,
you might be a redneck.
Right.
Well, I got a great idea for him.
You might be a pedophile?
Yeah, you might be.
Did I step on that?
A Republican pedophile. No, I...
All right, well, let's hear.
No, I don't work alone.
All right, I'm with you.
It's cold out there alone.
Yeah.
If you're signing bills to protect abused and exploited children with one hand and flipping the pages of an old Menudo calendar with the other, you might be a Republican pedophile.
It's going to go over great in the blue states.
If you think that Malcolm in the Middle jumped the shark just because Frankie Muniz turned 18, you might be a Republican pedophile. How am I doing?
I love it.
How am I doing?
If you do only what the president tells you to do, except it's the president of NAMBLA, you might be a Republican pedophile.
Get her done.
Get it done. If you watch 2.5 Men and you start the Half a Man fan club, you might be a Republican pedophile.
I gotta tell you, this has legs, Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of the pages, I think he had wax in his navels, what I heard, because Foley likes to eat by candlelight.
I don't think we should be laughing
I'm
at that.
I'm sick. No, that's like news from
lower. No, not because it's sick, because it's not funny.
It's news from lower hell, all that stuff. It's awful.
Billy, we need to take a quick break.
Yeah, okay.
When we come back.
Tommy Lasorda's coming back. Hey, that was me, Tommy Lasorda, 60 friggin' pounds ago.
I like to hear
you. I got Slim Fast. I got a turkey leg in my mouth. I can't eat Slim Fast.
What a life Tommy Lasorda has lived. Yeah. If you really think about it, how charmed could a life be? You know, managing baseball, but out of managing for 15 years?
Never pays for a meal in an Italian restaurant.
Or anywhere. We'll take a quick break. Billy West here. Billy's going to tell us his own harrowing story of beating cancer. Yes, Billy?
Oh, yeah, there's a turd in the punch bowl. I think this is going to be a fun show.
No, look, we're about whatever's real. It doesn't have to be funny voices and jokes. You had a brush with cancer very recently, yes?
Yes, I did.
And evidently beat it.
It's a bitch.
We will take a quick break. We'll get back with that story again. Lasorda coming up later. Dave's Jerk List. All that still coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
Get over here and make love to me, Adam Carolla.
Someone needs a spanking. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, it does. He does. I do. Where was I? Billy West in studio. Hi. Billy, known for all those years on the Howard Stern Show. I was telling Billy during the break that Howard called in last week. It was quite an exciting time for us.
Well, I'm the arbiter of what's funny. And you're funny. You made the list.
No, he dug you. He digs you. He always did. He always used to talk about you and Jimmy, that you were like tag team funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you're naturally funny.
Oh, thank you, Billy West.
You know, there's some jerks that have to write everything down before they come in and have notes and everything. Oh, wait, there's another page thing.
I think I'm naturally lazy. I'm not sure if it's naturally funny.
No, you're a good storyteller.
Yeah, you're done kissing his ass, you know.
Yes, I love when you do Stern.
You have a dump button now.
I wish you could help me out during my live reads.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. That's my favorite.
I'm sick of those.
Favorite part. I know. I'm a new broom who sweeps clean. I do. My live reads are done with enthusiasm. I like listening to Stern's after about year number 23 on the air and being a little bit tired of having to do them. Not getting paid for them, by the way. It's just part of the deal.
You know, when the... When that general manager comes over and says the sponsors can't live without you, you can get away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
On live reads, you can do what you want.
Yeah, that's what I want to get to.
But, I mean, I sell the stuff. You know, my job is to clear shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Robin?
Wait, there's another email.
Oh, you got another one? I thought you were going to do a Heineken live read.
No, one of the Foley emails.
You got another Foley email.
I don't want to beat that pig to death yet.
I do.
Wait, this is Foley email. Okay, wait. You get the sound effect? All right. Foley, where have you been all my life? Teen.
Well, for the first 40 years of it, I wasn't born.
That's the only one.
Worth waiting for.
The internet. Oh, wait. Wait, there was another one. Yeah, the internet. Keep going. The internet has taken the place of sex in my life. Teen.
Really?
Foley, I had a mirror installed over the computer.
LOL.
I like the teen's voice. It's cute.
I do too.
It's a real exaggeration. It's more like a 7-year-old.
Yeah,
but that adds. To
I find
it.
Myself yeah. responding to it physically.
Oh, oh wait.
There's another one.
Did you spank? Oh no, these are the ones.
These are actual
real ones. They're not that
voice.
Funny.
Yeah.
Did you spank it this weekend yourself? Teen.
Yes. I had a ball.
Foley, can I have the other one?
Oh, no.
No, that's not on there. That was an ad lib. I didn't even need a note for that. Let me go to page 12 of the ad libs.
Let me say this. Anytime somebody wants to know about your masturbatorial habits, they're interested. It's always casual. I remember guys in high school would always be talking to girls. Come on, you do it. You know, you do it. We all do it. Ironically, the guy wanted to hear the girl say, yes, I do masturbate. So then he could go home and masturbate to her masturbating. Is there a woman alive who would masturbate to a guy masturbating? That's the difference between men and women. There's no woman alive that hits up Damashek. Come on, you know you spank it. Come on, you know you do.
Do you use a towel?
Then when he sheepishly said, yeah, I did it once when I was in high school. And then they run off to their bathroom and masturbate to Dave masturbating. Guys love masturbating so much, we masturbate to other people masturbating.
I masturbate just thinking about not wanting to masturbate.
I've taken it a step further. I've gotten chicks to admit what they were masturbating to when they were masturbating and masturbated all three of them, including myself.
This is the masturbation time-space continuum.
That works on so many levels.
Hakuna Matata.
And you were right about these different techniques and ways. There's like, remember in junior high, and it's like, did you ever do it with an apple? Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, you hollow it out. Who would go to that much trouble?
My point is, and again, we talked about in the 6 o'clock hour.
You get a handful of bacon grease, right?
If there are young people listening, you don't want to turn this into a MacGyver episode because you're going to be doing it every day for the rest of your natural life. It's like, you don't want to tie your shoes in a way that requires three hands and lithium grease because you're going to do it every morning before you leave the house. You better make it easy. You're doing it every day. You know, the guys are like, I like to take the mattress and bend it over till it's a taco shape and then stuff that with the box spring. And then I fill that with axle grease. And then I go, yes, that takes 4 hours, and you've ruined an entire bedroom
set. You get a glove, right, and you fill it full of WD-40.
Right.
And you got five places to stick it.
You take a cassava melon, you hollow it out with a melon baller, you put it in the microwave, not for a minute, 45 seconds max. This all takes time. This needs to be, here's what your masturbation needs to be. It needs to be the equivalent of a breakfast bar. You need to be able to take it with you to work, eat it in the car.
Ideally, you can do both things at once while you're having your Apple Jacks or your cream a week.
That's right.
You can't take a mattress to a porno theater, you know? It's like...
Oh, yeah?
You have to buy another ticket for that, sir.
If you're going to bring a date into the stall.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take a break, I am told. Lasorda's calling in. I want to hear the very real cancer scare. Well, not a scare. You had cancer, right, Billy West? You were on the operating table not 17 days ago?
Yeah, I hate to be the turd in the punch bowl and kill all the levity
in here. I
want to
hear about this.
You want to hear about it now or later?
Well, Lasorda's calling in, and he's on a schedule, so perhaps...
I don't give a crap about cancer.
We'll talk to him. You can make fun of the great Tommy Lasorda.
No, I don't dare.
Too late. You're going to do it.
Cancer's been bumped.
Just going to go, take a hike.
We'll talk to Lasorda, then we'll figure out our cancer story with Billy West after this.
Call 866-901-ADAM. We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla.
1988 World Series. Dodgers down by 2 against the A's. Tommy Lasorda puts a hobbled Kirk Gibson on the plate.
All year long, they look to him to light the fire. The demand. So the Dodgers trying to catch lightning right now. The tying run is at second base with two out. High fly ball into right field. She is gone.
The coach, Tommy Lasorda, on the Adam Carolla Show.
I was watching that game, of course, on television, but I was watching that game. That was an amazing moment. And, you know, the story keeps getting better and better because every time it's told, it's Gibson. He wasn't supposed to play. He had a bum knee. He was in the locker room. He was caught in a bear trap. He had a great white shark on his head. He was nude. He was impaled on rebar. And we patched him up. We rubbed some dirt on it. We got him out there. But each time the story's told, he was at home. He wasn't even at the stadium. As a matter of fact, he'd been dead for 3 weeks, sometime. He had to exhume the grave. He evidently was not going to play at all, but they got him out of the locker room. They rubbed a little Tiger Balm on his knee. Lasorda gave him the nod, and, well, the rest is history. Tommy Lasorda, good to speak to you.
Adam, that's funny. How's the show going, Adam?
Well, it's going better now that you're on it, Tommy.
Well, thank you, but wish you nothing but the best.
Well, thank you. Tommy, Jimmy and I got to meet Tommy when we went to Dodger Town a few years back for the Man Show.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. You guys had a great time. And you know something, Adam?
Hmm.
You hit some balls that were real good.
Well, thank you.
You did. You had a good swing. You looked like you played the game.
I certainly did.
Yeah. And
it was, you know, guys pay thousands of dollars to go to baseball fantasy camp. That's what it was for us. Tommy Lasorda in there, Manny Mota, throwing BP, all the big names. It was awesome. So
Carolla was better than Kimmel is what you're saying, Tommy.
Yeah, I'd have to say he looked better than Jimmy, yeah, without question.
Five-tool player?
Five tools, yeah.
Tommy.
Hammer or saw?
Tommy is out. Tommy, a jovial man, no doubt about it, and a great host, but in his earlier years, hot-blooded Italian as well. Yeah, I think we have a little clip of him in the Kingman incident.
Every day like this. What's your opinion of Kingman's performance?
What's my opinion of Kingman's performance? What the f*** you think is my opinion of it? I think it was put that in. I don't opinion of his performance? How can you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his of his performance? He hit three home runs. I'm f***ed off to lose the f***ing game.
Sounds like Joe Pesci from Goodfellas at that point.
That was Dave Kingman of the Mets. Now, of course, the Dodgers are playing the Mets, you know, starting today, Tommy.
Right.
What do you think happens in that series?
I think we're ready. We're coming off a good streak as the season ended. We won, I think, six in a row. So we're in rhythm and we're in gear. And I think we're going to surprise a lot of people this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not only haven't gotten into the playoffs, but we may be hoping that we'll see the Fall Classic and be there in it. So we'll just wait and see how we do it.
Tommy, you skippered the Dodgers for about 20 years.
Yes, sir.
And now you're just sort of, again, I'd say one of the best lives of anyone you could imagine, because you played ball yourself, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Then
for
you
years.
Then you skipper the team, and now you're just the ambassador.
Title now. I mean, I've had all types of titles, but this one is great. Special advisor to the chairman of the board.
Really?
That's great, yeah. And that means I've spent a lot of time with the McCourts, advising them on certain things. In other words, they utilize my expertise, which hadn't been done for a few years since the O'Malley regime left. That wasn't happening. But meaning Frank, mm-hmm. And he said, I'd like to depend upon you. I'd want you to be with me. And I told him I would. And then when he got the club, I went with him and stayed with him.
So in other words, you're responsible for the Dodgers getting into the postseason this year.
Well, he's responsible.
I'd say that's what it is.
Yeah, I read between the lines.
He put up a good club, really. And, you know, we got an Italian general manager, and that really made it that much better. And,
sure.
You know, talking about Italian, Adam, I can remember when the writers came to me and said that Steve Yeager was mad because I made Mike Socia the number one catcher on the team because he was Italian. I said, that's a lie. That's a big lie. I did not make Mike Socia the number one catcher because he's my Italian. I made him the number one catcher because I'm Italian.
That's a good one. Well, speaking of Italian, Mike Piazza, you're the godfather to his...
Yeah.
Well, it would say it's Piazza's brother.
Yes, that's it. But, you know, in the Italian customs,
mm-hmm.
when you're godfather to one, you're godfather to all.
Yeah.
He drafted Piazza. Lasorda drafted Piazza as a favor to Piazza's old man. True, Tommy?
It's true, but not as a favor. I drafted him because I wanted to give him an opportunity to play. Every time we went into Philadelphia, he was my bat boy from the time he was 10 years old till the time I got him into college at the University of Miami. And then he went to the University of Miami, and of course, as a freshman, he wasn't playing. So he said to me, I want to go somewhere to play. So I got him into Miami-Dade Junior College, or a community college, and I talked to Demi Maneri, the coach. I said, I'll send him to you if you play him every day. He said, I'll play him. He was a first baseman then.
Where the hell was Tommy Lasorda when I was going to junior college shepherding me through my career? But by the way, I don't want to burst your bubble, Tommy, but it's not hard to get someone into junior college. You don't have to grease any palms or make any phone calls. All you have to do is show up. Yes, you could throw him out of a moving van and not slow down. He'd be admitted.
I'll tell you something, Adam. Yes. I'll tell you this. I'll be very honest with you.
All right.
Mm. And if I could have had you, after I saw what you did in Vero Beach, if I could have had you when you were 17 years old, I'd have made a big league hitter out of you.
Really? You mean that, Tommy. And I got to tell you, I was pretty coked up when we were at Dodger Town. I don't even remember it. Kimmel was on the nose candy back then pretty good, too. So you really mean, now I was probably in my early 30s, mid-30s back then, but you really saw some potential with me, yes, Tommy?
Oh, you had a good swing, absolutely.
Who would you compare him to? He's a lefty.
Yeah, well, I would have to maybe compare him to Jambi.
Ah, nice. Well, Tommy, I have more things to talk to you about, but I feel like I need to quit while I'm ahead.
Yeah.
I feel like ridiculous.
He's riding been compared high. To a great hitter.
If he could have got hold of me to early age.
You're like, Lou Gehrig 3 years after he died.
Oh.
I'd say at 17, mm-hmm. if I'd have had you at 17... If I'd have had you at 17,
like
Alan...
Foley had a page.
Adam.
Yes.
I tell you one thing. I'd have taught you how to hit the curveball.
Hmm. Oh, what a beautiful team we would have made.
That's right.
Going on long walks on the beach, riding the bicycle built for two.
Lasorda would have been fired after his first season of that.
Hey, Adam.
Yes,
hey, Adam.
Tommy.
When Mondesi came to me,
mm-hmm.
him and the curveball were complete strangers. He thought a curve was something that you went around with in a car.
Right.
I took him in spring training. I was 67 years old, managing the Dodgers, and I threw him 175 to 200 curveballs every day in spring training. He became the Rookie of the Year. I did the same thing with Piazza, Karros, Rookies of the Year.
Could have been Corolla.
With you.
Oh, Tommy. You know, on one hand, I'm soaring. On the other hand, I'm crestfallen.
You
thinking about
been.
What could have been. Instead, I clean carpets with Nicaraguan
Made
guys
you feel
out
any
of a van.
He's patronizing you.
He is not.
No,
he's seen
him.
Me hit.
Hey, Adam, I'm not joking when I tell you that. I mean, that's
Tommy Lasorda.
I saw the way you swung the bat.
Now, listen, Tommy, I just want you. I'm going to ask you one more time because I know Kimmel's listening. And when I see Kimmel, his house when we watch football on Sunday, he's going to say, oh, Tommy was just kidding. He's blowing smoke
I'm not
up
kidding.
You.
I wouldn't say that if I didn't mean it.
All right, then that's enough. I'm hanging up on him right there.
Kiss ass, kiss rodeo.
The great Tommy Lasorda. No greater mind in baseball than Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah.
I've said that once. I've said it 1,000 times.
The old man's lost his marbles.
What? Come on.
He is in the Hall of Fame, and for good reason. The man is sharp as a thumbtack. Tommy, yes.
Short stride, a quick bat. You had a good down swing, and you kept your front shoulder in on the ball.
Thank you. See, he remembers. It may have a mind like a steel trap, this man. So sharp. All right, Tommy, so tonight, Dodgers versus Mets. Oh, I should say today, right? Dodgers versus Mets.
4 o'clock Eastern time. We will be out on that field against the Mets, and I got a good feeling about our team.
I do, too. And do we know what time the game is on Saturday here in L.A.? Because as of a couple days ago, I don't think we knew.
Marty, what time's the game Saturday in L.A.? They haven't been decided yet.
Oh.
I see. Still up in the air. All right. We'll keep our fingers crossed, Tommy. And I look forward to seeing you in person when you're back in L.A.
1 or 4, Adam.
1 or 4. All right. Thank you, Tommy Lasorda.
Maybe 8, but doubtful.
What a brain this man has.
Marty is his imaginary friend. He's an old kook. Listen, if you start hanging your hat on this, it's going to make everybody crazy.
He thinks that Adam could have been introduced to the curveball. And if he had gotten to know the curveball, he could have been a great hitter.
Marty is a 6-foot rabbit. He speaks to about about baseball. But either way, the man knows his business. He remembers me. He remembers me taking BP at Vero Beach not so long ago. He scouts talent. That's what the man does.
All right, muzzle tough.
I knew you were in the Colts. You got a nose like a 2-car garage.
Sure, that community college story went into extra innings there for a second, but sort of still with it.
We brought it around. The great Tommy Lasorda. Anyway, Dodgers playing the Mets at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern time. Billy West in with us in the studio. Now, Billy will tell us about his brush with death. We'll take a break. When we come back, a real life cancer survivor, Billy West, after this.
And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 72, from Mommy Dearest.
No wire hanger, ever.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Billy West still in studio. Billy's going to tell us about his brush with death in a moment. But first, I realize, first off, Tommy Lasorda, not only a great baseball coach, but a great American.
Yeah.
Tommy Lasorda, and evidently genius IQ.
Clearly insane.
No, he knows talent.
No greater yardstick to measure athletic talent than Tommy Lasorda.
I laugh at Mensa.
Tommy, we had another clip I didn't want to play, Tommy. He was a passionate skipper back in his day. This is from the 1977 World Series with the Yankees. He's gone out to the mound to talk to the pitcher after some struggling. Let's hear that.
We're good, Tommy.
I don't give a shit you feel good. There's four motherfucking hits up there. Well, I may be wrong, but that's my goddamn job. I'll make fucking decisions here. I don't give a fuck.
Hey,
don't give me any shit, goddammit. I'm making fucking decisions. Keep your fucking mouth shut. I told you.
It's always great when they're up in the booth and they're doing the comment. The guys are calling the game. Well, Tommy's gone down to have a chat with Doug Rao. Evidently, they seen eye to eye, and Doug's agreed to leave. Meanwhile, they're just yelling expletives at each other.
The best thing about it is that I've listened to the clip so many times, it's like watching the Stooges. You keep looking at the corner of the picture to see if there's something you missed after the first 200 times. I heard the clip, and in the background, there's this happy organ playing during the break. If you go back and listen to it, it's like, it phase out the yelling and listen to this guy.
I don't give a shit you feel good. There's four motherfucking hits up there. Well, I may be wrong, but that's my goddamn job. I'll make decisions here. I don't give a fuck.
Hey,
God damn it. I'll make the fucking decisions. Keep your fucking mouth shut. I told you.
This guy's playing Lady of Spain on the Hammond organ in the background while he's screaming mother effer at his pitcher.
Yeah, they only know.
That's your hardball mentor, Carolla.
I don't give a crap how you feel, Dougie.
Carolla spent the commercial with his heart soaring. He was up on cloud nine because Tommy Lasorda said that he thinks that he could have been a big leaguer if they'd worked together. Tommy, by the way, what do you think about the Yankees series? You think they're going to go to the World Series?
I like soup.
He's insane.
No, he is not.
He's a daft
slim
man.
Fast ice cream. I could eat a gallon of it.
We also have Joe Pesci, because I think when Lasorda gets fired up and starts throwing the MFers around, he sounds a little like Pesci circa Goodfellas.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Motherfucking you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. Come on. Let him go.
You bought his fucking button, that fake old tough guy. You bought your fucking button, you fake tough guy. You motherfucker.
Come on.
Keep that motherfucker here. Keep him here. Come on.
Actually sounds more like Billy West when he gets fired up.
No, you know what the thing is he's hardly formidable when you can't see him. He sounds like a tough elf.
Get your hands off of me.
It's like when the Keebler guys have gotten out of hand.
Yeah, really.
Billy West, now we can laugh now because he's out of harm's way, but he told me off the air just 2.5 weeks ago on the operating table. Yes, Billy West?
Yeah, over at USC, but I'll start this. How old are you?
I'm 42.
Okay, you don't have to worry quite yet, but anybody that dies, any man that dies of either colon cancer or prostate cancer dies of stupidity.
Really?
Yeah, I was very vigilant. You know what the telltale sign of the prostate stuff is? Yellow sneakers and a rusty zipper. No, it's not that. It grows. It gets bigger, and you know, your rite of passage into being an adult male is that finger up the
right.
Right, to check.
Yeah, I got one of those about 2 years ago, and the doctor prefaced it with, you know how this one goes. And I said, no, actually, I don't. And right up the tuchus.
The probe. The shocker.
He busted my behymen. But he gave me that thing like I'd been deflowered by another doctor. And in fact, I hadn't, but it was too late. Finger had spoken.
Yeah, it's creepy.
You wanted
creepy.
It to be special that first time, and instead it wasn't.
It did.
It's creepy, but...
Okay, Junior, bend over.
So you get it, you must, after the age of 40 or whatever, you got to get this checked on a semi-regular basis,
you
right?
You do, and it's like the biggest, baddest MFs on the street, you know, the one with the giant stereo Cadillac SUV with the Tweety Bird, I don't get the connection, but on the side. It's like, these are the guys that won't go in.
Right.
You know, they'll face death, like, on the streets of, El Cerrito, but they won't go in and get a check.
Right.
And
where's Board Op Bill's been in 28 times just this year? I don't think it's appropriate that you tip the guy, by the way.
Can't be too careful.
Let the insurance handle
Isn't
that.
Isn't it true that most cancers are right there? They're not way up. So a digital check is actually very effective.
Well, you know, it makes a ton of sense because we die from the inside out when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel any symptoms except that I did have an enlarged prostate. The prostate, you say, well, what does that do? It's the stuff that manufactures the...
Semen?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. It makes the man pudding so that the sperm can travel in.
Yes. It's the lubricator,
yes,
I believe.
But it is the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't know what it is. It's like this little evil blintz, and instead of inside blueberry and whipped cream, there's like cancer.
And
in my case.
And they had to take it out?
They detected it via the finger.
No, that was the tip-off. So the guy started doing what they call PSA tests on me. I went to the urologist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny when you call over there, they got this joke. Urology, can you hold?
Good stuff.
Humor.
Most guys, if they live long enough, Robin, will get prostate cancer, right? I mean, most guys, eventually, if they make it into their late 80s, 90s, half the guys will just have prostate cancer.
Either that
cancer.
Or you die of old age before you get it, but that's a huge problem.
So, now, is going to the bathroom frequently one of the signs?
No, inability to go to the bathroom is one of the signs. Like, you feel like you have to go, and you go up there, and it's like trying to unknot a balloon filled with water. You know, it's like, yeah!
Mm-hmm.
That was a sign, but the thing is this was enlarged. He says, "I don't want to, I don't want to scare you or nothing, but you, that thing's the size of a grapefruit. It's
really?
A very healthy pile of goo there,
right?
And in doctor's terms too,
Mm-hmm.
But he started doing tests, and I was very vigilant. Like every 4 or 5 weeks, I started getting this PSA test.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't like the numbers on this. They were coming back screwy,
mm-hmm.
which tipped him off that something was up. So he prescribed a medicine to shrink the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't work out very well. But, and then another 6 weeks later, he says, you know what? You still got these funky numbers, so why don't I do a biopsy on you?
Now, the biopsy, they're not cutting into you at this point, are they? They're
no,
just
but I don't know
feeding
how to
the snake down the drain, right?
No, it's the rear.
Well, that's what I mean.
Well, I mean, it's like an erector set, and there's two men building it outside of your rear end.
They're confused.
Well, they're essentially, when you snake out a clogged drain, you just drop that snake down in the main drain and snake it out. That's how they're doing it, right?
Liquid plumber. This needle, it's this tiny, tiny needle that goes up, and it sounds like a stapler, mm-hmm. and they go, okay, now we're gonna shoot that thing, and we're gonna grab some tissue out of there.
Right.
And I said, well, and you're fully awake. You're laying on your side while this is going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they can't knock you out. It's the weirdest feeling in the world. You feel like nerves just above your kneecap when they go up there. It's like, so they grab pieces. They had it biopsied and looked at Johns Hopkins and say, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. But the problem is the needle's so small, you might go in right next to it and miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers kept coming up weird. I had another biopsy done. Nothing. And I said, well, maybe, it's like that movie, I See Dead People, or whatever. I started thinking, well, maybe there's like something going on in there that they're not getting. So the guy said, I agree, let's go in and get 12 samples. By then, I felt like a dartboard, you know.
And you
I
had to stay awake through the whole
you
thing.
You have to stay awake.
There's a lot of staying awake when it feels to me like you don't need to stay awake.
Why not take some Valium or something?
I go to, like, no. I've been to the dentist a bunch of times. Like, give me the nitrous, buddy. Oh, yeah. You don't need the nitrous. I like the nitrous. Yes. You know, we have young girls who come in here, get this root canal. They don't. I want the nitrous. We have the technology. Pump it into me, please. It's not a battle. You know, I'm
it's
not trying
2006.
To. I'm not to test my grit or prove anything to anyone here at the hospital. Just please dart me, knock me out, and then do whatever. Take a biopsy, rape me, and make a film. I don't care. I'll be knocked out.
But Mr. Carolla, you're clearly already drunk.
So I had a nip to take the edge off.
I agree.
Your lymph nodes are filled with codeine.
So they take 12.
They take 12.
And now they
find
it.
And they tell you they're going to take it. He goes, okay, I want you to lay real still because if you move, I might just go keep going.
Any talk of we're up Ren and Stimpy's arse right now?
The doctors, I'll tell you, that something similar happened to that. But, you know, this guy found,
voice.
They found cancer with the 12. They said, and he said, I hate to tell you this, you know, but. You got cancer, and I don't want you to screw around. You know, you can miss an appointment here or there with me, but this is serious. And it's like so surreal when somebody tells you that. And I felt like an idiot because I tout myself on my health like I'm a vegan for 10 years. I used to work out. I'm like super healthy. I don't do any drugs. I don't drink and anything. And all of a sudden, it's like your reward is this.
Right.
So I felt like a victim for 2 seconds, and I said, this dwarfs you. It just puts everything into total perspective, the whole world, anything wrong. It's a sucky time in the world, but it's a great time to have cancer because there's operations they can do.
Yes. Yeah. So you went under the knife.
Well, they gave me 3 choices. They said, here's how it looks. You can go to a doctor every day, 5 days a week, for like an hour, and have your arse blasted with radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, that'll do wonders for the story arc of my life. You know, just take up your whole life.
Right.
And then he said, well, then there was also radioactive seeds that we can implant in the thing.
That give you superhuman strength. If I know my comic books.
That's right. But yeah. I was sitting there going to the doctor, have we not learned the lessons from Gilligan's Island? Remember when those radioactive seeds washed up on the beach and everything went amok?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, that's going to happen to me. I don't want stuff
like
that.
I thought
like
you were going to cite the Harlem Globetrotters playing the robots episode, but this makes more sense.
Yes,
you're right.
Radioactive seeds. So
you go under the knife.
They get me to the hospital, and it's a woman doing the surgery. It's the best over at USC. She saved my life, and I have a picture of her in my wallet. But anyway, I go in the hospital, and I went in under the worst conditions. I had the flu the day of the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is it's radical surgery. They cut you from, like, your groin up to your navel. So I got, like, a 7-inch
So they're going through
scar.
The front side.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Show me the scar.
Wow.
Wow, do you have a small penis?
Ah!
No, he showed me the
Somebody
scar.
Did a triple Lutz on my stomach.
Went right from the navel all the way down to the...
To the groinage.
To the groinage, and they open you up and they go that direction.
Yeah, they go that way. It's funny because you don't think that. And this happens for 4 hours they work at it. And I was in the hospital for 4 days, and I also had blood transfusions, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot to stockpile my own blood.
Well, what do you mean, forgot? Don't they tell you to do that?
Well, I mean, it slipped my mind.
Well, force you to do it? I mean, shouldn't they, before surgery like that, you have to sort of bank some of your own blood?
No. They just said, this is, you know, donor blood, and I'm thinking I got all of L.A. running around inside of me.
You got Pam Anderson's Hep C blood running through you.
Yeah, good, yeah, Hep C.
Yeah.
Silent killer, yeah.
Your scar looks, you look amazingly well for somebody who's just been under the knife several weeks ago.
It was about 2.5 weeks ago is on the table. Yeah, I heal real fast, but during the healing, I had the flu, and then my girlfriend came in and brought me a sandwich from my favorite vegan place that has an A in the window, and I got food poisoning. So I got food poisoning. I'm burning up with fever because they had to keep giving me blood transfusion because I was losing more blood.
Do they remove the prostate?
They go in and take it out, this thing.
They take out the whole prostate?
Yes.
And now what?
And then it used to be kind of a death sentence to a man. You would wind up either incontinent or impotent or both.
Or you'd shoot powder out of your pecker room.
Yeah, what are the effects sexually, if I might ask?
That's the thing, is nowadays they have this nerve reattachment surgery. So they take the nerves and they put them back together. It's like they didn't know how to do it before, and then they figured it out.
I'd take the powder. First off, cleanup would be a snap. You know what I mean?
You dust
yourself off. You just get up, do a quick with the T-shirt, and you're off to work, number one. Number two, if you ever ran into trouble and they had to make a quick escape, poof, smoke screen. Fill the room with your man powder and slink out the back door. No one will know. You'd be like James Bond.
Oh, yeah. So the feelings you get after in recovery. Oh, before I even had the surgery done, there was a team of doctors, and they said, you know, you understand how this works, and they were very bedside manner about it. And then one a-hole goes, do a voice.
No. So you did one, though, right?
No, I wanted to lay into the guy and just tell him to, you know, just go take a nap on a railroad track. And then I thought, don't do it. Don't be a hothead, because this guy might be in charge of the respirator, you know?
Sure.
He would do a voice.
I'll kill him in his sleep.
Yeah, I'll kill him in his sleep during the same. And there's no white light. There's nobody over you going, come to the light.
So they remove the prostate.
Yes.
They reattach some other...
the nerves. And they stitch you up like a football. And then... you get these weird sensations in your stomach because this is a whole new situation. You get glands that don't know each other. Like, you know, hey, I'm spleen.
Right.
You know, hey, I'm a kidney. Oh, yeah? How long you been living here? 55 years. Yeah, me too, hey. whatever happened to
prostate?
What's his name? They took him out last night. You know, and it's like weird stuff going on.
Well,
let
me ask you a personal question. Have you tested out the plumbing since the operation?
Well, that's the thing. You got to wait for like a few weeks because I still have the dribbly uncertains.
But it's been 2.5 weeks.
It's been 2.5.
No, it takes more than that.
It's
time we
take that new ride for a test drive.
Oh,
T?
What's this got to do with the price of diapers?
Listen, he's got a girlfriend.
I'm curious how things are going. I mean, no, I'm curious if this prostate is removed, what it's like.
No, I tried out the hydraulics.
The hydraulics
and
work
miracle
fine.
Of miracles, but nothing happens. You know,
nothing comes out?
No, you have the completion and the feeling, but nothing. That's it.
Smokeless cigarette.
Yeah. Wow.
I got to get that surgery. Could you imagine the possibilities? Whoa. I could be doing it right now.
Yeah.
It's like that birth control pill where you never bleed.
That is awesome.
So
this is a mitzvah for you and your penis.
Oh, God, yeah.
All right, so...
So, I mean, it's like...
Scare over?
Yeah, they checked the lymph nodes and everything. And I went back and I was like, I wimped out when I saw her after the surgery a few weeks later. She said, how you doing? I was like, you saved my life.
Aww.
You saved my life. Let me shake your hand. And then I went, ugh, it was inside me. It's the first hand I've ever had in there.
Yeah, most time they wear gloves.
Yeah, but this was, it was a wake-up call, and I thought,
well, what
you know
should,
what? I'm going to talk about it because
should,
men,
what should we do? What yeah. should all? Because we need to take a break.
Go
but
get
if
checked.
There are guys listening between the ages of what and what, or over the ages of what?
You know, you start thinking about it when you're 50.
50.
Yeah, start thinking about colonoscopy, too, because there's
every
stuff
year?
Going on. If you detect colon cancer, it means that it's too late.
My grandmother tried to explain to me once when I was young about how to do a self-examination. Always in the shower, by the way. All this stuff takes place in the shower.
Yeah.
All the weird stuff you do to yourself in the shower. I trying to talk about dropping a digit on the Ace Man's coolie. I said, I don't think so, Granny. I'll let the pros handle that. Oh, you do it yourself.
Yes, but Adam, they're feeling for nodes.
No, wait a minute. Worse, I forgot about it. She was telling my old stripper girlfriend that she could test me in the shower.
Oh.
That's it. She was trying to get my old stripper girlfriend.
With my big grandma rings, the ones with the jagged edges, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, when someone with clamp-on earrings is telling you to have their girlfriend who's sitting there, too, to... put a finger up the took guy. It's
and
very
uncomfortable. And I'm guessing the stripper girlfriend probably had some long fingernails.
Yes, with acrylic nails, that did not help at all.
You got to get over yourself, though, with the checkups and stuff. I mean, it's like, it's a horrendous thought to think about just doing this thing.
Right.
But you know what I found out in the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have the surgery and recovery rather than food poisoning.
Oh, well, yeah.
Nothing,
worse. There's nothing worse than nausea.
You lose your soul. In the bowl.
Billy West. You should cut PSAs, Billy.
They got an A in the window.
Starts Futurama starting back on Comedy Central in 07.
Yeah, I just did some Looney Tunes stuff, too.
And well, look, every time you turn on the TV and it's something animated talking, there's a good chance it's Billy West, Survivor.
Survivor.
Doing the voice. Thank you very much, Billy.
I'm glad to share.
We'll take a quick break. Dave is going to do his jerk list. Yes, Dave. I know you have a look on your face.
Oh, no.
Are you ready to go?
That's mumps. I'm always ready to go.
Okay.
Sure.
Are you going to put
that? Why the puss then, yeah. buddy?
It's mumps.
We have people waiting.
We
in
do,
the green
but
room,
but
so
they can wait.
So
the jerk list
All right.
cuts to the front of the line.
Not
we'll
one
hear
person
that.
Here cried or shed a tear for that. What I told you.
We kind of tuned out, to tell the truth.
I'm going to go speak to the head shuck.
Listen, I think Dave might put prostate cancer on his jerk list. I don't know. That's as far as it's going to go.
We'll hear that after this.
About
jerk!
The jerk list.
A severe penalty for being a jerk.
You're a jerk!
The jerk list.
Jerks! Jerks!
What an outrage.
Shay!
What a jerk.
You're a jerk!
The jerk list.
There's too many jerks.
Yes.
The jerk list.
Judge rules. Jerk!
Well, maybe couldn't tell, but the jerk list is right around the corner. We will hear from Dave. My favorite part of the program. I actually, favorite part of the jerk list is the Creep of the Week song. That's what I look forward to. And so is my wife. Speaking of ladies, quickly, a phone call. Melissa?
Hey.
How say you, baby doll?
Well, first, I just want to say that you guys totally crack me up.
Thank you.
Sacramento loves you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just wanted to make a quick comment about the masturbation.
Yeah, we were speaking about that earlier.
Yes.
I was saying that guys try to find out if women masturbate so that they can then masturbate to the woman masturbating.
I agree.
And a woman would never do that.
I disagree.
You disagree?
Oh, yeah.
You must be overweight.
No, actually, I'm pretty hot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you look like, Melissa?
I don't know. I'm 5'6", 140 pounds. I'm fit. I'm 35.
Hold on. 35.
Mm-hmm.
5'6", 140, 35. Let me crunch some radio numbers here.
Sure,
I got to
okay.
do some radio math.
There's a complicated algorithm that gives your actual weight and age.
Oh, really?
That Adam knows only.
Okay. I've crunched the numbers, done the radio math.
Yeah.
I have you at 5'4 3/16", 162, and 41 years old.
Not even close.
Well, I'm sorry, the radio math does not lie, Melissa. But anyway, you're hot.
Well, I'm not saying that to be conceited, but I mean, people
right.
have told me that.
And you would masturbate to a guy masturbating?
Sure.
But not him in the room.
No.
Just some guy you work with saying, sure, I'll squeeze one out every once in a while.
Well, I don't work with men. The majority of the people I work with are women.
Well.
Which sucks, so I do have to masturbate a lot.
You do?
Well, I mean, not a lot, but.
How often?
Oh, I don't know. A few times a week.
Mm-hmm. Do you have kids?
Mm-mm.
And you're never married?
Nope.
Perhaps, and this is a theory of mine, a lot of guys, and evidently women, they go at themselves so much that they're never hungry. They lose the eye of the tiger. If you think about it as a guy, this is what propels you through the world. This is what makes you climb the corporate ladder. This is what makes you muster the huevos to talk to women at bars and ask for phone numbers.
Right.
If you drained yourself of all fluid before you left the house, you'd walk out to the car, turn around, and walk right back into the house.
Eros is a driving force.
It is a motivator, and perhaps you've been taking the wind away from your wings, Melissa.
No, my wings are spread.
That's not all.
You are a class act, my dear.
But
why can't you find a guy? Yes, what are you doing? Why can't you find a guy if you're high?
Hey, everybody. She's a little long in the tooth, but don't worry about that. A little heavier than you like it, a stripper. Melissa hitting the stage now. She just wore out a set of seashells back in the changing room. Could you grin and drop your litter? Jade, stage four, Jade. Tell you what now. Don't mind the stretch marks and the C-section scars. She's all woman, boy. What are you fellas moving away from the stage for? Come on, get in there. Take your medicine. She's a hat litter. She got a smoker's hat. Well, that's a turn on to this DJ. Come on, everybody, reach into that leather fanny pack and feed the moccasin.
Melissa's your biggest fan.
She really does love me.
Oh my God, you're too funny, dude.
Why no time? Why no time for marriage? Where are the boyfriends, Melissa?
Well, I'm done with school, but I went to school full time and worked full time.
Right. So, you're 35 now.
Yeah, I'm ready.
You're ready.
Mm-hmm. You say you work with mostly women.
I do.
Where do you work?
I'm a marriage and family therapist intern.
I gotta tell you, I'm so Pavlovian with that song. If it comes on the radio and I'm driving alone, I'll fly. I'm driving my car. Start taking my pants off right there.
Oh, all I know is Melissa's someone's therapist.
Scary, Melissa.
Well, I work with kids
now, Melissa. You were molested?
No.
Hmm.
Mm-mm.
What's up with you? You're hot.
Yep.
You're educated.
Yep.
You have no baggage. You have no children.
I don't want to say I don't have any baggage, but I've worked through it.
Oh.
What's in the baggage?
Physical abuse?
No.
Hmm. Mm-mm. Sexual abuse?
Nope.
Emotional abuse?
Sure.
What's in the bag, baby?
That's in the bag, dude.
Who abused you emotionally?
Don't play that.
You know what? Why don't you take that counselor's hat off, if in fact they wear a hat? And if they do, it should be one of those three-pointed hats.
If it was Mark Foley, would wear. That would be a story.
Take that counselor's hat off for a second.
Sure.
And lie down on the Ace Man's sofa.
And don't rub yourself with it.
What happened?
Okay, you got to cut the music, though.
Dad didn't tell you you were pretty? Don't tell us what to do with our radio show. I like that music. What's the matter? Daddy wanted a boy? Hmm?
Skip the dance recital?
No, I have an older brother and I had an older sister.
And you got lost in the shuffle?
Well, yeah, I'm the youngest.
They were over you by the time you came around?
Basically.
Dad was out?
No, Mom and Dad were there.
Mom and Dad were there, but full attention on the brother who was an athlete and the older sister who was a beauty queen.
Pretty much.
Little Melissa got left behind.
She wasn't special enough.
The black sheep of the family.
No, that's not me. That's my brother.
So she started acting out.
Nope. Well, I did, but they...
With drugs.
Sure.
Lesbian affairs.
Nope.
Had sex with the janitor to high school.
Ew. Mm-hmm.
Earl.
That's nasty.
And he left his keys on. A huge mound of keys. It's the only thing he had was the belt and the keys with the retractor thing on it that he could pull out and zip back. Listen, if you have a job that has a huge clump of keys and that little retractor zip cord on it, you need to kill yourself. But yet, there they were. And every time you hear a jingling set of car keys, it takes you back to Earl.
I think Melissa would be a good counselor because she would just laugh.
I do. I laugh.
That'd be
a lot.
Great. Like, I was raped repeatedly by my stepfather. He told me if I said anything, I'd go to hell. Then he violated me with the table, like, please, I can't take it anymore.
Oh, my God, dude, stop. You're making me cry.
All right, look, all I know is if you're truly hot and you're truly single,
I am.
There's no reason why you can't be hooked up with somebody.
I agree.
How about Big Tad? He's damaged goods.
Oh, my God.
Huh?
No.
He'll damage her goods.
Maybe the Duff Rat guy.
Mm. Yeah, he probably tapped that if he did enough funnels. Masturbate two guys masturbating.
No.
Then
no,
what were you calling to say?
You were saying that men think about women masturbating and that women would never think about a man masturbating, and I disagree.
Well, that then is what I just said, right?
Well, I didn't quite understand, so I had to reframe it.
You're a professional listener.
Hold on. Sorry with the jerk list, Dave, but now Mandy is calling in saying she masturbates to guys masturbating.
Yeah, that's my favorite fantasy, actually.
The thought of it.
The thought, and if I see it, forget about it.
Have you requested it for guys to do in front of you?
Yeah, a couple boyfriends have done that, and I like it a lot.
Teresa's boyfriends all cry when they do it in front of her.
It's true.
Trail of tears right to Teresa's bedroom. Hey, so Mandy, this is something that women think about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you? What do you look like?
I'm okay. I'm kind of cute.
That's the equivalent to right now when you ask a guy, what are you doing for a living? Right now? Uh-oh.
I don't like to brag.
Okay. I'm just not sure if I should masturbate to you masturbating to me.
To you. Absolutely. Sure,
right.
Why not?
All right, why not? It'll be like when a snake eats its own tail. Sorry, David. I'm sorry for that little digression.
So be it.
Wanted to get
some...
I feel bad.
Listen, it can keep. The jerks aren't going to get away. They can't, no matter how far they run or try to hide, they can't outrun my blaster.
Oh, David. No, David. To me, the jerk list is like a yogurt where you pull the foil off the top. So one thing, if you pop the cap, but then you pull that little foil membrane off, it doesn't go back in the fridge at
that point.
I know,
but we have Dimitri Martin waiting. He's
very funny.
Well,
he's a funny comedian.
Yes,
I say we shoo in your jerk. How far behind are we now, Brusket?
We should go to break.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. We'll do it tomorrow. That's fine.
Just give us a 5-minute jerk list.
Right, go. Zip it.
Why don't we take a 5-minute break?
I'd really rather wait. he doesn't want to do it, obviously. He's been talking about this the last two breaks.
David, what's wrong with the jerk list today? We all want to hear it.
Jerking's in the news.
I feel bad. I don't want to make Dimitri wait
it's
any longer
minutes.
Than he's already waited.
He's a professional. He's a big boy.
We just spent 3 minutes arguing about it.
Besides, make him wait. He gets to hear the jerk list from there in the green room.
It's a gift to Dimitri.
Let's do it.
All right, let's get it on.
Yeah! Well, there's another call about masturbation. No, go ahead.
All right, first, I will check the jerk hotline, which was ringing off the hook this week.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of talk about Republican congressman / cyber pedophile Mark Foley. Yes, he's earned a spot. Jerk!
All right, please.
Can we?
All right, here we go. Let's go.
All right. Titan, a lot of
jerk.
Everybody shooting up the schools. Jerks! I will say, though, that school does suck. You know, not the kids in the school. They don't deserve to be shot. But the institution of school does deserve to feel the sting of my blaster. Math in particular. Math, they make you take, fine, addition, I'll sign off on it. Subtraction, multiple, you know, your times tables. Important. Long division, maybe. All right, after that, geometry, algebra, calculus, so on and so forth. They're all jerks!
Thank God I never got past any of that. I took high school math as a senior in high school, and I'm the only person I know has never taken, besides maybe Ozzy, who's never taken algebra.
A misery, yes. Now, let's quickly give out the Get Out of Jerk free card.
Mm-hmm.
The coveted card that buys you out of jerkdom in the future. It's the month of October. That's who gets the Get Out of Jerk free card.
The entire
it's the best
month.
Time of the year for sports. You know, you get all the NFL, you get playoff baseball, NHL, NBA starting up, college football, of course. Plus, you got the nice, crisp weather and the food. We talked about it yesterday, not just pumpkin pie, but a lot of places, more and more, pumpkin cheesecake. Ooh la la, delicious. Congratulations, month of October. Enjoy that card and play it in the sin. Oprah and some of her sycophants were on Larry King the other night to talk about goodness knows what. And listen to what Oprah told Larry about her greatest fear in life.
I have a deep fear of not fulfilling my potential on Earth.
Is that right? You have a deep fear. Well, if it makes you feel any better, your ass has more than fulfilled its potential. But let me say this.
Oh, fat joke about Oprah.
Get over... Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Jerk!
Wow.
But I want to know this, though. Who is she to talk about fulfilling her potential? It's meant to make the rest of us feel bad about ourselves. What's left for her to do? To be named the overlord of the universe? She's worth $17 billion. Shut up, jerk!
Yes.
Hey, I watched this show Friday Night Lights last night. A lot of good reviews coming in for it. It's
football,
gritty.
High school.
Yes, it's about high school football. Yes, it's gritty. It's got that faux documentary kind of thing to it. And it was pretty engaging for the first 54 minutes of the show. Then, last play of the game, clock winding down the last second, the last play, they have the ball on the other team's 30-yard line. They're going in for the winning score. Can they pull it off? The backup QB's in. The next thing you know, the ball is snapped, and he's now scrambling away. He's at his own 20-yard line. He scrambled 60 yards backwards. Then he uncorks a bomb.
Continuity.
What gives? Listen, you can't. Yes, the continuity, the idea that you always have to embellish the great sport of football by trying to dramatize it. This show, Friday Night Lights, is a jerk. All right. Now it's time for Creep of the Week.
Here we go with the song.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Start it again. I couldn't tell with that.
Wow, I feel like I jinxed it by heaping praise on it before the segment.
Creep, creep, creep of the week, of the week. He or she is the creep of the week. It's in honor of the NHL starting up today. I'm very excited about hockey's return. I'm one of seven people in North America who's jazzed about this. I go back to about 2 years ago when I was working on the Jimmy Kimmel show, on the Jimmy Kimmel Live late night show. Jimmy and I got to talking. Wayne Gretzky, the great one, was booked as a guest that night. I said, Jimmy, do me a favor. Ask this creep about who he thinks the greatest player in the history of the sport is. Everybody say, oh, it's Gretzky, it's Gretzky. Lemieux, my favorite, Mario Lemieux, Pittsburgh Penguin.
You're legend. No fan of 99.
No, but more I'm a fan of 66, Mario Lemieux, the Pittsburgh Penguin great. I say, for my money, as do many, that he's the best to ever play the game. Always kind words for Gretzky. Gretzky, always with little digs at Lemieux. Like, oh, he's a great player. He's a great. Never over the top praise. Anyway, Kimmel has him on the couch, and he says, hey, who do you think, Wayno, is the greatest player in the history of the sport? And he said, well, you know, Bobby Orr was terrific. Gordie Howe was great. You know, so many. Jimmy says, well, what about Lemieux? And he says, oh, well, Mario was great, too. Again, you see, underhanded dig. Oh, it slipped my mind to mention.
There's nothing short of an attack.
That's exactly right. So now he gets off the couch after the show. He's done. He's in the green room. Now, he always, if you're a hockey fan, you know, a lot of guys, the good players, have goons, guys who fight for them, big, you know, husky fellas who do their dirty work for him. Now, he had a guy named Dave Semenko who always did his fighting for him in the early years. So I go up to Gretzky. This time he has no Dave Semenko with him. He has a publicist, a woman with him. And I go up to Wayne and I say, hey, Wayne, you know, you left somebody off your little list of the all-time greats there, didn't you? He said, well, I said how and or and so on. I said, well, no, you left off Mario, too. Didn't you leave off Lemieux? And he said, yeah, Mario was a great player, too. I didn't care for that. And he turns and he walks away from me.
You don't turn your back on Dave Damage.
He starts to leave. He thinks the conversation's over.
Not by a long shot.
I say to him, he gets about 15 feet away from me, and I yell out to him, hey, Wayno, Semenko's not here to bring this to him.
Okay.
And Wayno turns around.
Let me just say this, though. Be clear. Under your breath is still shouting for Dave Damage.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, right. Thank you.
Sorry.
Wayno now wheels around. Like, what in hell is going on? The executive producer...
Gretzky turns on you.
Yes. Executive producer Jason Schrift of the show comes over to me and he separates me, puts his arm around me, arm bars me, and pulls me away and says, what do you think you're doing? You can't attack our guests like this. Now, I say this to people. People say that was unwise because what if Gretzky had licked you? I say to them, fantastic. The great one just gave me a whipping because I stood up for Mario Lemieux, my favorite hockey player. Now, on the other hand, what if I take it to him? He's a sissy. If there's any professional athlete that Dave Damashek could lay out, it's Wayne Gretzky. Either way, I felt victorious. I protected the good name of the great Mario Lemieux, Le Magnifique, and great one, Gretzky, you may have won a gaggle of Hart trophies, Stanley Cups, and so on and so forth. But this week, you are the creep of the week.
Oh, we were still doing the jerk list there. I thought we were finishing up sports. What time is it?
I don't know. I think
I told you to wait.
The good news is it's already Thursday.
Well, I'll tell you, not only poignant, but timely.
Yeah.
In honor of hockey.
That's right.
I'm unable to control.
Maybe Frank's right. We need to take a break. Who's coming in next? Oh, yes, we have comedian, patient comedian, Dimitri Martin. We'll speak to him. Also, we'll do news and sports. What's coming up in the news, Steve?
Well, we'll talk a little Mark Foley, a little Amish shooting, and a big bombshell in the Anna Nicole Smith case.
All that coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
She has a win as a witness.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I went into a shoe store and I said, hey, can I get those in a 10? The guy said, sure, and he went in the back. And a couple minutes later, he came out and he goes, I don't have a 10, I have a 9. Great. Because while you were in the back, my toes were severed off. Normally, it would be retarded for you to say a number different than what we agreed on. But given my very recent accident, you're right on.
Comedian Dimitri Martin on the Adam Carolla Show.
Dimitri Martin in studio. I like when they twist the knife, where they go, you go, you have the 10, the guy comes in, we have a 9, and we have 11. Right. Like that one. Now I want to kill myself.
Averages.
Thank you. You want to name all the other sizes that aren't going to fit me too? Boxed in, and then you think to yourself, who's the a-hole who stole my 10s?
Yeah. A lot of times they say, they run large.
I just don't know. I don't know. It makes you think they either have a popular foot size, or it's not that popular and they don't ever get my size in. I feel ordinary or weird. I never feel okay.
It's interesting, yeah. It is better, ultimately, like, people who are small in stature do a lot of complaining, but the world is your oyster. I mean, every seat on an aircraft is first class to you.
I always say that.
There's a lot of cars, sports cars and stuff that big guys can't fit into. In general, it's a 5'8 world.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm definitely with you on the plane thing. I always think about that on planes when I see little people. I'm just like, now you have the upper hand.
That's right, my friend. Soon we'll be on the ground, and I'll take you down, my foe. But for this moment, enjoy.
Enjoy those dangling legs.
It is, if you think about it, I mean, even I'm 6'2", but even in first class, my feet are hanging down or pressed against a bulkhead or something. It doesn't matter. I'm drunk out of my mind. But it is the one time you do see a dwarf or a midget and go, you lucky son of a gun. Look at your feet swinging in the air.
You tiny king.
Plus, that skimpy meal is a 7-courser for that dwarf, too. I mean, you're 60 pounds.
Sample size is adequate size. I mean, it's all right.
Your size. The Triscuit is the size of your head.
Did you ever end up next to a huge person on an airplane?
Yes, I did.
And that happened to me once, too. But it was a karma thing because me and my friend Eric, there were three of us, me, Eric, and Leo, traveling from Seattle. We were doing some comedy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to those computers to sign in for our tickets. And we got a row, and there were three seats in a row. Eric and I went up first, and we said, we took the window in the aisle. Window in the aisle, yeah. And we just, there was a middle seat between us. We were like, don't tell Leo. Let's leave the middle seat. We'll have a space between us. Perfect. And so we just left him. We said, yeah, man, I don't know. You should just get whatever seat. So he ended up with a middle seat somewhere else. We're like, oh, bummer, man. You got a middle seat. Sorry. We're thinking, yes, we got a space between us. We're set. Turns out the flight was full. It filled up. And the biggest man I've ever seen on an airplane is coming down the aisle. And Eric looks at me and goes, I know who's sitting between us. And we both start laughing, which is terrible. We're thinking, oh, no. He walks by us. We're in the second to last row. He walks by us. Go, yes. And then just a beat, and he goes, hey, bro, that's my seat. Like, oh, no. We stood for 4 hours. I mean, the man was
really?
I couldn't see the armrest. I couldn't even see the armrest. It was one of those things. It wasn't even like
I was
kind of
spilling over into your seat.
His arms were folded over his torso. I know
I've sat next to fat guys, and there's a psychological component to it that doesn't really work because there's a weight issue. Now, obviously, the plane has several thousand pounds of fuel and whatever else in it, but it's still just on a sort of caveman, the part of your brain that's still reptilian thinks, we are never going to get off the ground with this fat ass anchoring us to the tarmac. There's a 330, you know, when John Goodman is sitting next to you, you're thinking, there's no way we'll get in the air.
We're going to be tilted the whole time.
We're going to be flying at 45-degree angle the entire time.
Plus,
circling.
I learned I'm not that, like, some people are more comfortable, I guess, tactile, like, touching.
You know
what I mean? Where they, like, more, like, punch their friends or hug people a lot. But I'm not that much of a touchy, I don't know. So it's weird when someone's so big that you're basically cuddling. You don't mean to be, but your whole bodies are next to each other, smushed. It's just kind of...
He's in you the entire flight, yes. You're spooning the entire flight, whether you like it or not. And I always feel bad for the fat guy because fat people are at their fattest when they're trying to squeeze through tight spots, you know? Fat guy in the middle of the salt flats doesn't seem so fat. Fat guy trying to make his way past you and your buddy's knees with the seat in front of you reclined and get up to the head, which is tiny. It's like everything is shrunk down to quarter scale on an airplane. So fat guy, guy that's 300 pounds when he's in the airport is 900 pounds when he's on the airplane.
Even those little utensils, they just like little toothpicks.
Yes, and then when they have to ask for the extension, I feel so bad. Like, I wish there was a button they could push silently.
Were you there? Were you ever have a guy ask for the seatbelt extension?
Yes,
the add a leaf to the seatbelt?
Horrible.
There's a seatbelt extension?
Yeah, if you're very overweight, you have to get an extension legally because your seatbelt won't close. So you have to ring the button and then call the stewardess over and then say out loud, can I have the extension?
Is it like a little, so it's just like it plugs in. It's just the two ends match up like
yes.
an extension cord.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The idea that they've embroidered lard ass and bold print on it to me is crossing the line. Last week I came up with an idea, Dimitri, you may like, which was a funeral home for heavy set people. A lot of fat people, why go through the embarrassment of the big casket and the double grave sites and the crematorium with bigger opening and all that kind of stuff. We're going to call it
Larger than life.
Larger than life.
I was going to say big and tall and dead, but I think
that's good too.
I like that too. It's the three.
But I feel like there should be an airport for fat asses too, or at least an airline for heavy set folks, because it's embarrassing for them. And then there's the part where they have to argue with the guy about whether they have to buy two tickets
yes.
because of the extra weight and all that kind of stuff. There should just be a fat ass airline as well.
I think the funeral home would be amazing if you just make tons and tons of money and you start investing in. Like, you just open one. Even if you never get business, people just see that place. And
well,
just
first off, fat people never make it to their 50th birthday. I mean, they're dropping like flies.
That's true.
They need a place to go. Someone's got to bury them.
I always think that when I see old people, I don't see a lot of really tall old people or really fat old people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't ever see a really tall old guy.
Well, big always goes bad. You ever see like a big vegetable?
Yeah.
You ever see... If you grow vegetables, you go buy them. But if you grow them especially and you do like a zucchini, if you let a zucchini go, you never pick it, it will be the size of a large roll-away trash can if you just let it go for a few months. It gets huge. It'll get like 30 pounds, but you can't eat it. It goes south. Everything, nature's weird, but when stuff gets big, it gets bad. When apples and peaches and stuff get really big, they get really mealy and bad. When people get big, they don't make it past 45. There's a certain size everything is supposed to be. There's like a sweet spot. I think it's like Dick Clark size for human beings. There's a certain size, and those things go on forever, and the big ones, I don't know if it's hitting their head on door jams or what it is, but they get mealy and they go bad.
When I was a kid, I had that Guinness Book of World Records. I don't know what year. It must have been 82.
We all had that book with the fat guys on the motorcycles.
Yeah, the fat twins on the motorcycles. But it's funny, I just had this one Guinness book, and I would read it a lot of times before I went to bed. But years went by, and I still read from that one year, and it had that picture of that world's tallest man. Do you guys remember that
guy? Yeah. He was like 8 foot.
Yeah, and his brother was like, he was like 8'11". He was still growing when he died, and his brother was 6'2", and he just looked like a little dude next to him, and I'd always look at him and it never ceased to blow my mind. I was like, this guy's big.
That, I gotta tell you, kids, before cable, satellite, and Xbox, that stupid Guinness book is all we had.
We all had that.
Just marveling at it. Look at those two fat hillbillies on those scooters.
And
wow!
Guy.
Staring at the same picture you saw the day before for an hour. Staring at a crab with a claw that was the size of a Buick. You just stare at it. Little black and white post-it stamp size picture. Couldn't get over it.
The little girl with a 13-inch waist. They always showed her.
Yes. Anomalies. Dimitri Martin in studio. These are the jokes. CD out as we speak. We need to take ourselves a break. I know we talked about news and sports. Don't worry. We're going to do that, and we'll do it right after this.
What's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, suckers? It's Jack Silver. Hey, peep this show for tomorrow. We got Lisa Lampanelli. We got porn star Memphis Monroe. And gender reassignment surgeon Dr. Gary Alter. Hey, I'm going to laugh, spank it, and vomit. In that order. Late.
Thank you, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Dimitri Martin in studio. These are the jokes out on CD and DVD as we speak. Dimitri's going to hang with us while we do the news. He graduated from Yale.
Yeah. Really?
Is that true?
Yeah, a long time ago.
So he knows.
Yeah.
T?
Do it up.
I better do a good job.
Yeah.
I believe.
Impressed.
I majored in news.
Okay, good. Well.
Pressure's on.
There's going to be news about a Yalie in just a moment. Not Congressman Mark Foley. He is in the news because he sent suggestive emails and instant messages. Yesterday, his lawyer came out in a press conference and announced that Foley himself was molested by a clergyman when he was a teenager between 13 and 15. His lawyer also acknowledged for the first time that Foley is gay.
Yeah, but he never touched anyone. He never molested anyone.
I'm
the same way. I do, you know, I talk a pretty good story about big jugs, but if you present them to me in person, I will not touch them.
Theoretical.
No, I won't bury my face into them. No, I'll run the other way as fast as I can. That's how all people are sexually.
Gentlemen.
They talk about whatever their preference is, and they talk a pretty good story on the internet, but once presented in person with whatever they're talking about, they'll run for the hills.
That's what email's for.
Well, Dimitri Martin, your fellow Yalie, President Bush had a little something to say about the Foley situation. He wanted to let us know that he is disgusted.
I was dismayed and shocked to learn about Congressman Foley's unacceptable behavior. I was disgusted by the revelations and disappointed that he would violate the trust of the citizens who placed him in office.
Strategery.
So close to coherent.
Yeah, almost made it.
Were you guys
so
in the same dining club or whatever you call it over there?
No, I think he was in the Secret Society.
They're both Skull and Bones over there.
Yeah. Big shot, that guy.
Dimitri was just, he was in Bones and Bones.
Yeah, I was in Bones.
It was a gay group.
It was cool, though. We were no touching.
Right.
No, they would email very salacious emails, but then once they got together,
yeah,
they never.
In the same room. I mean, we had set up, you'd email the guy and look at him while you were writing to him.
So. That would be a good win on a technicality. Like, if I ever cheat on my wife, I will cheat while emailing. I'll have my pants down and receive oral, but we'll be trading emails back and forth.
It's a plug-in, man. It's
yes, right. It seems clear that Foley was not.
Thank you.
What happened?
I just wanted a little of that. We'll be in the same room, and that way when I get bossed out, sweetie, this was nothing but an email effect.
No, Brian, I'm glad you're on that sound, because according to ABC, Foley was IMing the 16-year-old Paige while voting. Foley, I miss you, teen. Yeah, me too. Foley, we are still voting. You miss me too? So it seems clear that the IMing was happening during a congressional vote. He took a break. Now, Foley's lawyer is saying he was drunk when these instant messages were happening, but never drunk while Foley was voting in Congress. So was he drunk or not drunk?
Wow. It's funny, when you're not drunk and you do something horrible, you claim you're drunk. And then when you are drunk, you claim you're not drunk. When someone else says, give me the keys, I'm going to drive. All the drunk people claim they're not drunk, and then all the pedophiles claim they were drunk.
Well, speaking of...
Yes. LOL.
LOL. A lot of
J-O-L.
LOL. J-O-L.
That's my new one.
Adam has coined that.
G-O-L. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, well, new revelations in the...
Yale, huh?
Yale.
Yeah. No, I'm one of the top Yale people.
Are you?
Yeah, it's just I'm riffing right now.
Bones and bones.
It's way ahead of my time. Next week, it's going to be funny.
Well, new revelations in the case of the Pennsylvania milkman that opened fire in the one-room Amish schoolhouse. He apparently called his wife during the siege and said that he was dismayed because 20 years before he had molested some relatives who were 3 to 5 years old, making him 11 or 12 at that time. Apparently, he was very dismayed that he might molest again.
Drunk.
If all the folks... And by the way, new horrible situation, but new poor name. So move over Duke LaCrosse and welcome Amish Milkman. No, Pennsylvania milkman.
Yes, I think either. I think Amish milkman is actually more perverse.
I think that's
a rapper.
I think that's better. Yeah, it's more my rap name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, actually, Man A's is actually my rap name. It's white. It's got a Z in it. It's
Amish
got man
milkman
in it. But the Amish milkman, I think, is a new porn name.
Yes, he stars in Churning Butter 1-8.
Look, everyone is going to do something horrible and then kill themselves. Just kill yourselves now, please. That's the plan. Kill yourself. That way, you'll at least get to go to heaven.
Right.
I mean, I'm no theologian, but kill five people and then kill yourself, it hurts your chances of getting in to the places where they're playing the harps.
It seems weird. He was worried about molesting again and hurting somebody. Then he went and shot and killed five little girls. So,
that's really bad.
Dimitri. You're
that's
killing
my
me.
Education.
Dimitri says bad.
Dimitri
cost
says
his parents $125,000 for him to say that's bad.
But I'm on point though.
They don't teach that at junior college.
Listen, accuracy. Dimitri, you're
it's
on point.
It's about precision.
Exactly. Now, Anna Nicole Smith.
Very controversial stance by Dimitri Martin on this whole Amish tragedy.
They keep me off the air usually.
Anna Nicole Smith. Anna Nicole Smith lost her young daughter. Dimitri Martin, bad.
No comment. I can't get into that.
Okay.
You know, that is bad.
That's what you're going to say, bad. Mm-hmm. Well, now here's the latest. Yes, go ahead.
She lost a young son, right?
Yes.
Are we talking about Anna Nicole?
I'm sorry. She lost her son, Danny. Now she has a young daughter, Danny Lynn. Thank you for correcting me. Her ex-boyfriend, Larry Burkhead, is saying that Danny Lynn, the baby girl, is his. And now Anna Nicole Smith's lawyer and new husband, Howard K. Stern, is saying that the little baby is his. Now, here's the thing. Burkhead's lawsuit also alleges...
Let's call him Peroxide Head. It's more demeaning, and that's what it's more fitting, too.
Well, his lawsuit not only alleges that he is the baby's father, but also that Anna Nicole was taking methadone. Mm-hmm. Now, if you'll recall, her son, Daniel, who died, had methadone in his system. They believe that is part of the toxicology that killed him.
Really?
It's interesting, too. Methadone just slows you down to a crawl, and Anna... when you hear her speak, does sound like she's been slowed down considerably. That Larry Burkhead guy, I've been staring at him in the news for the last week, and I finally figured it out. He's a gay Jay Moore.
Ah,
he looks like gay
Moore.
Gay Moore.
More gay Moore.
Yes, he is a gay, or some would say gayer, Jay Moore. Jay Moore. That's what he looks like. Everyone find Jay Moore, find Larry Burkhead, and you will find the same man.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time. Do it, Dave.
Oh, we're actually doing it.
I guess we are.
I thought we were not doing
sports. I was told to rap.
Well, Los Angeles alive with excitement. About the
yes, I know.
He's so confused.
I'm alive with confusion.
Shaking his head. Yes.
What's happening?
Well, listen. You brought a different emotion to the Dodger fans mm-hmm. when you were at a rally on Monday night.
I whipped them into a frenzy.
Yes. Right. Dodgers, of course, at the Metropolitans in just a couple of hours. Let's take a listen to Carolla jazzing up the Dodger fans.
They say LA's not a sports town, but don't tell that to the Dodger fans.
Yeah.
Emphasis.
Well, it's hard when you've been knocking baseball for the last, well, what feels like 3 years, but the season's only 11 months. Yeah.
Well, good news for Dodger fans is that El Duque Orlando Hernandez, the Mets pitcher, is not able to go. He's off the roster for this series. So now there's a rookie, Jeff Maine, going for the Mets. So the Dodgers have a real chance of making some hay in game one tonight. Equally as enthusiastic as Carolla was about the Dodgers' chances was Steve Garvey about Adam Carolla.
Ooh. Well, he's a legend. He's a boy among men. He's obviously been in the shadow of Jimmy Kimmel all these years. You know, God willing, he'll be on the show, past next week. I know he has a short-term contract.
Huh. Taking digs from Garvey.
Wait a second.
From Popeye. Eek.
I didn't go to Yale, but isn't it man among men?
He's been hit with so many baseballs
I think that
in the
was
head,
intended,
he doesn't even
it?
Know what he's doing anymore.
Baseball players known for their searing wits.
Well, I gotta say, I think we expect more out of baseball players because they look closest to us, but then you realize, well, all athletes are just knuckleheads. When you see the 7-foot guy from Uganda who has a protruding brow and he looks like he's going to eat your kids, you don't expect too much from that guy. But then you see the baseball player and you're like, I'm taller than he is.
Sure.
He's about the same skin color. I guess something good could come out of his mouth. As it turns out, no. Jocks are jocks. Or maybe this. Maybe all guys are stupid. Ever think about that?
I've tried to.
There's only a handful of Dimitri Martins in the world, you know.
Yeah, and I feel braggy, but yeah, that's true. Well, it's like kickers, relief pitchers and kickers, I think, look pretty intelligent.
Yeah, they look. And then they put a mic in front of them, and it turns out. But then if you put a mic in front of some of your J.O. buddies you went to high school with, what would come out?
Yeah.
Okay. We need to take a break.
I think we hear that every day when we do the sports.
So we've learned that all your friends are stupid and that the Amish tragedy was a bad thing.
Bad, you say.
So says Dimitri Martin. Comedian, these are jokes. Name of the CD and DVD out as we speak. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Lisa Lampanelli, comedy's lovable queen of mean. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we'll talk to Lisa Lampanelli tomorrow morning. Just enough time left for a little segment called So What Have We Learned? Well, we've learned that molestation is a gift that keeps on giving, much like naming a star after someone. It's really a coin toss, you know? We've learned that if a priest offers you the blood of Christ through a funnel, turn it down. You should not be shotgunning the blood of Christ. No beer bonging the blood of Christ. And last but not least, we've learned that my new porn man, new porn name is the Pennsylvania Milkman.
Good times.
And my new rap name, Man A's. White, creamy. Got a Z in there. All right. Well, I want to thank Dimitri Martin for coming in here. Billy West. Tommy Lasorda. Genius Renaissance man. Tommy Lasorda. Tommy Lasorda for president, I say. Lisa Lampanelli, porn star Memphis Monroe, and Dr. Gary Alter, plastic surgeon and gender reassignment specialist. Tomorrow, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.